The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Humph by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. Paul, Andy, Fred is here, Kevin's here, Eric is taking the ice bucket challenge. No, he's not. He's
got things.
Handling Bill Belichick, then he's got some practice, and player availability is later today, so we don't have that interruption.
Post 4 o'clock player availability.
Yes, but we have a lot to talk about because also later today are the cuts getting down to 75. Patriots have already made a few, which we'll talk about.
Cuts, on the, 8 more to go.
They've made a few.
It was on the website over the weekend report and now has been made official by the team that James Anderson, Tommy Kelly, and Will Smith have been cut.
Justin Jones as
well. Talk about our reaction to that. We'll talk about reaction to, or not reaction to, but prediction of who might get cut coming up later today. And maybe not just cut, but, you know, put on a list maybe.
Yeah, I think there'll be two lists today.
Yeah.
Tyler Gaffney probably goes on IR today. And
sure.
The help me out, Andy. The lineman who has been on NFIL.
Chris Martin.
Chris Martin. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So that, you know, that might happen as well. So we'll talk about that. Talk about stuff in the news. Tom Curran had a, I would say,
volcanic.
I don't
take.
Know. Well, a very controversial take on the fact that it's because of Peyton Manning that Wes Welker got hurt.
I'm not even sure Fred Kirsch would buy that.
Yeah, I don't. And
I'm not sure Wes Welker's attorneys
would
buy that.
We'll talk about that. What else?
Garoppolo's going to start the preseason finale?
That was, if you listen to Bill Belichick on Patriots Monday yesterday, he came flat out. He was asked if that report was true, and Bill came flat out and said, yes, it is.
Well, it was
corroborated by the Patriots prior to that.
Yeah, he confirmed it within the Adam Schefter report, which I think is a fascinating, unprecedented type maneuver. Now, I have no idea. You're the read between the lines guy, but for Bill Belichick to come out and say, you know, in a report and confirm and all that, that Garoppolo is going to start, Mr. Never Tells Us Anything suddenly is doing it a little differently. Now, the black and white analysis of it, I think you can take. He wants Garoppolo to go through a game week. He wants the pressure, the media, the everything about it. That is certainly one take, but other people have gone off on other tangents in terms of mallet,
yep,
and trades.
And I thought it was funny, you know, Dale Arnold was the one that asked the question. He said, so we expect, you know, he'll play most of the game. And Belichick says, you know, he'll play a lot, we hope. You know, obviously if he gets injured, but,
right,
you know.
And I also thought it was interesting. Now you guys are going to mock me because that's what you do. He said, this will be beneficial to him whenever he becomes the starter, whenever he starts a game. I don't know when that is, but whenever that is.
Well, it could be any. Could be.
See, I take that stuff at face value.
He's anointing him.
Oh,
anointing him.
I think.
Anointing him.
See, that's when I
think.
Anointing
him.
That's when I start to make fun of you.
You're leaping.
Air.
He could start this year because of an injury.
Sure. Has he ever said it about Ryan Mallett?
I'm sure he has.
I don't know if he has or hasn't.
I'm absolutely sure. I mean, now, the thing that to wonder.
My angle.
The thing that to wonder about that is, why he made it so public and probably didn't make it as public when Brian Hoyer had to do it or when Ryan Mallett had to do it.
He has started a quarterback in every preseason game ever. Right? It's kind of the way it works.
I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to say yes.
Isn't that a fact? He has started a quarterback in every single preseason game he's ever coached.
Yeah.
How many times has he announced who the starter was going to be?
Yeah, I don't think that he's probably done it like this in the past.
It's different. The air is being treated different.
What I wonder, you know, some of the things, possibilities to might make this one different, and I started thinking along those terms yesterday. Is it another, I'm sorry.
Paul is
I'm
actually
battling.
Sick. That wasn't his, like, yeah, I started thinking yesterday. Yeah.
No, I'm battling. I'm battling a head cold. Do you think that it might be one last chance? Now, Sam Bradford, your boy, gets hurt in St. Louis. I don't think that necessarily Mallett would factor into something like that. I think they're looking for an experienced
Mallett
backup
for
who
Quinn?
Can come in and play.
I got Mallett for Quinn. I'll take it.
yeah. But do you think it's an opportunity to say, listen,
no,
the league, I know Mallett's my number two guy. I don't need him to play in this game. But I want to make sure I don't want him out there playing because I don't want him getting hurt, but he's available.
It's
and there he is.
That's how a lot of people are reading it because of they're adding in the Houston angle because Houston is the first waiver claim. And if the Patriots were to cut Mallett, Houston could claim him. So if you're anyone else and you might be interested in Ryan Mallett.
So does he get cut at 4 o'clock?
Who?
Mallett?
Oh, hell no.
Can't.
I think he's the backup quarterback.
He can't. Well, not only that, but you're not putting Brady in if something happens to Garoppolo on Thursday.
Right. But I think he was stamped the backup quarterback when they treated him like a backup quarterback in the last preseason game and threw him out there in that situation. That, you know, those are the tea leaves I'm choosing to read. I think he was treated like the backup quarterback, and I think he's the backup quarterback.
Right.
But, you know, you can certainly read it other ways. If you're going to cut him, other teams trade for him, send us something. You know, you give us a six because we're going to cut him anyway, but you want him so Houston doesn't get him, blah, blah, blah. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
I read it the way Andy did. That's the way we talked about it in the post game last Friday after the Panthers game.
Xbox One.
When he goes in like that for that emergency series, to me, that would have been just as beneficial for Garoppolo if you thought he was your backup, right?
True.
Well, he's not.
So
he's
I think
not the backup. He's the next starter.
I think
whenever he starts,
I think they feel of so. You know, maybe he's pushing him this year. How's that? You want to go?
Never
going to. You want to take it all the way to the theater of the absurd?
He's never going to come into a game as a backup. He is the next starter.
So he's never going to have to back out Brady.
Yeah. I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
And then there's the cuts. That
I get another addendum to this whole thing. Adam Schefter is the guy who broke the news that Garoppolo is going to start. So generally, we assume those types of things are sort of. Leaked.
Well, plus he actually said that the Patriots have a Patriots spokesman confirmed it.
Now, interestingly,
that's why I didn't need Dale Arnold to have to say, "Is that true?" Like,
now,
it's true. The Patriots said it was true.
You think that actually took place? Because I don't.
Oh, I do.
I think whoever called and told him it was all one person. I don't think he got the information and then called and checked with PR. I think it all. Here's what you're going to do.
You're
going to write
about,
this, and you're going to say it was confirmed through a spokesman.
Oh.
I think that happened in one phone call, whoever the phone call was.
I agree. You're talking about Schefter specifically.
Yeah, I don't think he got the information and then called to get it confirmed.
I misunderstood, yes.
Now, if you remember, last summer, Adam Schefter was asked on SportsCenter who one of the young story players was in the National Football League. Out of all 32 teams, and who did he say?
Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett. To which anyone who had watched laughed, because he wasn't
Much
the best.
Like this year with...
He wasn't the best player in New England camp, never mind the other 31 that I haven't seen. So one could assume that he may have gotten that information and maybe been maybe now this is some quid pro quo payback. I'm just saying, same guy, lots of stuff involving Ryan Mallett going left, right, and center.
Well, there's no doubt that Schefter is the guy that gets Patriots stuff. You know?
Schefter is the guy that is given Patriots stuff.
However he gets it,
No, 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 but I'm not saying, I'm saying he is a tool. And I don't mean that in the negative way.
They all are.
But he's a tool to be put to use by this organization.
I'm saying that every team has their tools.
Exactly.
And on this team, one of them is Schefter.
We shouldn't say tool, because then people are going to think we mean like...
I don't mean, he's the guy. He's the guy we trust with information.
Or utilize when we need to disperse some information.
Okay, you can
word go
it
back
way.
And forth.
Yeah, you can word it that way.
And I think it's interesting that the same guy, sort of 2 years in a row, Adam Schefter, this information maybe and in this case, I actually think it works perfect for the Patriots. Because Schefter probably feels like he's getting some information, right? It looks like Adam Schefter's reporting Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start.
Certainly around here, it got a lot of buzz.
And Bill Belichick wants it out there as soon as possible for his purposes.
Right.
So he isn't actually doing a favor for Schefter. Schefter's doing his bidding for him, but Schefter feels like he got information. So maybe the favor is paid off.
It's a quid pro quo.
Boo.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. So we'll be all interested to watch Jimmy Garoppolo and starting the game and see what he can do.
Now, this has led to the great debate of how many quarterbacks. You know, our friend Mike Giardi, friend of the show, former fill-in here on the show, has his roster breakdown. I don't know why Curran doesn't do it as the Patriots insider, but Giardi does it, and he has two quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo is the two. I don't think that's going to happen. Paul and I just, you know, talked about it. I still think it's three, and it's Garoppolo the third.
For a bunch of reasons, I don't think they're going to cut Mallett. And I don't think any team is going to give the Patriots anything worth trading. So for that reason, I think the Patriots will have three quarterbacks.
Now what's,
but I think the Patriots would trade him if the deal was right.
And it won't be right. The deal will not be right.
I think they'd need at least a fourth rounder, right?
I don't know.
That ain't happening. For Mallett?
Yeah.
Then forget it then.
Yeah.
They're going to hold on to him.
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, Paul, are you indicating that you take less than that if you were the Patriots? Team comes to you, we'll give you a sixth.
If anybody wanted to give me a draft pick for it, I would take it.
Any draft pick.
Yeah, I think I'm right now I'm pretty comfortable that Garoppolo and Mallett is not a big gap. I think Mallett probably is more prepared right now to start a game right now. And Andy sold me on this. And you know me, I'm as stubborn as they come, so it's hard for me to get sold on anything when I feel something. But going into the preseason, Andy talked a lot about this on the first pregame social. And Andy said, right now, it's Mallett. Mallett's better. But in a month or so, 6 weeks from now, that might not be the case because Garoppolo is rising. And we already know what Mallett is. I think that it's pretty close now. I think Mallett's here, wherever that is.
A little higher.
And Garoppolo is really close.
Right.
Coming
and if
in
he
at
continues
an angle,
to
we're
get
describing
better,
Paul's hand movements on the radio.
If he continues to get better, I think Andy made a really good point. You know, it's like 3 weeks ago.
That's
now.
What you get on the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social.
But I say it again. I'm as stubborn as anyone. When I believe something, you guys know how hard it is for me to not believe that anymore.
Right.
And from what I've watched, I think Garoppolo, and it's not necessarily like, oh, I'm so sold on Garoppolo. I'm sold against Mallett. I don't think Mallett is the guy. I don't think he's the guy that's going to step in and play a month for you and you'll be okay. I don't think that will be the case. So if it's really not that much of a difference between the two guys, why have two guys that I don't feel great about if I have to put in instead of Brady? Why not just get the young guy, let him keep developing, give him all the reps in practice, give him all the preparation work with scout team, don't split it at all with Mallett, and just prepare him as the
right,
backup.
But you don't cut,
welcome, my friend.
But you don't cut Mallett, right? You can't cut him.
If I think that,
why can't you?
I'm saying
I would.
I'm saying
they
I
won't.
I'm saying I would. I don't think they would.
If you cut him, you have no control where he goes.
Who cares?
Why do I care where a guy I don't want goes?
I don't know. It's this.
I would cut him, but I don't believe.
I don't
they
think
will.
They're going to because I think they feel there is a difference between the two right now, and that might be worthy in 2014.
I mean, you can say what you want about that game where Kevin O'Connell got picked up by the Jets, but the Patriots did lose that game.
Yeah, because of themselves.
Because of that.
They pooped themselves. No, they pooped themselves. The wristbands, the whiteboards, we changed everything.
They thought about too much. They overthought
exactly.
The game. Yeah.
So this is a different scenario.
By the way, that team wasn't that good. That team lost six games and got decimated in the playoffs. That team flat out wasn't that good.
Fred's not going to go there.
It's the worst Patriots team of the last 10 years. That 2009 team.
I don't think that the roster spot is that critical that they would cut Mallett. I just don't think they would.
Well, they think roster spots are critical, right?
Yeah, well, they say that, yeah.
Okay.
I don't
Maybe
think,
don't.
By the way, this is not something that, like, I'm sitting here saying I would cut Mallett. It's not something that I would say if they keep Mallett, wow, that's a huge mistake. You're right. They should be deep enough. This is a good football team. They should be able to keep three quarterbacks like most of the other teams do. It shouldn't be that much of an issue. They're good. That 53rd spot on the roster shouldn't be the difference in anything. It's always nice to have another guy, but you don't have to have it. It's not one of these things that should elicit columns the next day.
They're actually in the traditional three-quarterback set. They have a proven starter, a veteran backup, and an ascending young talent.
In the new rules, does Mallett have practice squad eligibility?
This is his fourth year, right?
Yeah, no.
No.
So he has three accrued seasons.
Okay.
So he is out.
All right.
So we want to trade him for a fourth-round pick, but we think we could get him on the practice squad.
Right. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that that's what I would want. That's why I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Stupid little thing. But remember we talked about a lot of people ask if Mallett's kind of a DB.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you said he isn't.
He isn't, in my opinion. But he comes off not all that great. And I do think Garoppolo comes off better. Oh. You know, if you're going to take the whole picture of the quarterback, kind of what Bill's talking about this week, the whole media press conference production meeting, Garoppolo is better at that already than Mallett is. He is more polished and sounds good.
That made me chuckle, too, on EEI yesterday when he mentioned, you know, go through the whole process, the production meeting, because that is one of the guys that we requested. I know that Matt Smith requested.
Right.
He wanted to talk to Jimmy. So Roach could talk to Jimmy.
Somebody should do a Jimmy counter on the broadcast. How many times Dan Roach says Jimmy? Just
but
Jimmy.
I just thought that was strange that he, you know, go through the production meeting. Like, I would think that Bill thinks of that stuff as like the dreg of the society.
Very stressful situation. You never know what's going to come up in those production
meetings. But it's part of
Dan Roach be rubbing his feet for him.
It's part of being a starting quarterback in the NFL, and so
yes.
You try to recreate that as closely as you can.
Yep.
The cuts at
One other thing on Garoppolo.
I'm never going to get to these cuts.
What about the cuts?
What cuts?
We talked about
you already
cuts.
Said
not
the
on
cuts.
The show.
You
yes,
said
did.
Them. You led off with the cuts.
I know, but I want to get your reaction
we
to
will
them.
In a minute when I'm done with Garoppolo.
I thought we already did that.
Just on the Garoppolo thing, he has not played as well, in my opinion, as his numbers appear.
I said that the
did
last
you know
two
his numbers are phenomenal?
The last two games.
65%, 129-something rating,
you
four
to yourself,
touchdowns, no interceptions, no sack. Like,
if you
he looks
be,
perfect.
If you want to be one of those guys that sort of wants to pump the brakes on young guys, go to an NFL stat website and look at the quarterback ratings, and you'll be astounded by the amount of guys that flat out cannot play this game that have like 125 passer ratings, like Kellen Clemens and guys like that.
Where's he?
Sanchez.
Right.
This has been, listen, those penalties, all of those passes that would have been incomplete don't count now because there's a penalty on every incomplete pass this preseason. And I'm not even exaggerating. Virtually every incomplete pass has resulted in a penalty.
Yeah. You are
so
exaggerating.
A lot of drives have been extended in this preseason.
Because
no
then
doubt.
No one would have incompletions, Paul.
That's why I said virtually.
Even Brady has incompletions.
And most of them have been overturned by penalties.
No, but I mean on his stat line, he actually has incompletions.
Yeah, well, Kimbrell Tompkins did drop a couple. Those are his incompletions. He's 17 for 21 the other night, right?
You make me laugh.
Was he not? Yeah, 17 for 21,
true.
Fred?
True.
I mean, there are not any incompletions being thrown, but Brady's Brady. I'm talking about career Jags like Mark Sanchez and Kellen Clemens that have, you know, like these eye-popping numbers. To Andy's point, I don't think Garoppolo has played. The first game, I thought he played great. The next two, I think he's been okay, but I think the numbers look a little better than he's actually played. But, I mean, the progress from practice to the games and then, you know, moving forward week to week, and it's really been encouraging because he's getting better and better.
So now let's talk about the cuts. Were you surprised at all with these cuts? I'll just say right out, I was surprised that they cut Tommy Kelly. And less about James Anderson a little bit and not Will Smith. Do you guys agree?
Well, I think we all saw Will Smith going except Matt Chatham.
Check.
Actually feuding with him on Twitter and the airwaves as we speak.
Right now? You're feuding with him right now?
Yeah, Kelly, I'm surprised. He took all the starter reps at left defensive end. He looked like a starter. I didn't see him stinking. Did he jump off the page to you, Fred,
no.
As, oh, he's getting pushed around?
I thought he was pretty competent out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that surprised me. And then the James Anderson, he had the injury, but he's still the best linebacker I've ever seen cover on the practice field.
Right.
For whatever that's worth, and apparently not much, he's as good in coverage as I've ever seen out there. And if they don't value that, that's fine. I'm not saying you're going to win or lose because James Anderson isn't here. But this does, you're not going to have overly experienced backup linebackers. You know, Darius Fleming coming off a couple ACLs. Everybody apparently now is madly in love with James Morris and that he's going to make this team and he's this rising star. You're going to have a pretty thin linebacker core.
Do you think there's anything about cutting them, bringing them back after September 1st of the contract?
Certainly not Tommy Kelly since he's, you know,
he's
on his way to Arizona.
Yeah, he's talking with
I
them.
I just don't think that you cut guys this far out of when you want to get someone back and expect them, you know, to come back. I mean, I've seen stuff with Justin Jones, even, you know, practice squad candidate. Well, I don't know why you would try to get a guy cut in his case, 2 weeks earlier.
Well, the best way to make other teams not want him is to cut him like three times, prove you really don't like him, because then they'll buy it.
You know, listen, am I going to rule out the possibility that any of those three come back ever? No, because you never know how it's going to unfold. You never know how injuries unfold.
Well, wait a minute.
But I don't
If they come back in week 14 after their six injuries, that's not the same.
Right.
If they come back flat out week two because it was just we don't want to guarantee their salary or something, that's different. But certainly, I mean, Tommy Kelly could get cut in Arizona, sign with Arizona, get cut in Arizona, and have to sign here in November.
In my personal opinion, those three cuts that they made over the weekend had 0% to do with the possibility of coming back.
It was just, we're not going to use you. We're going to let you have
a chance to
jump on this.
You've been in the league 11 years, Will Smith, solid career. I don't want you to have to be out there when there's 1,000 other guys on the unemployment line. I'm going to give you an opportunity. And look, Tommy Kelly's already talking to Arizona. It gives them an opportunity. It does them a solid. I'm not saying that's the only reason why Bill Belichick is all about helping out these guys, but I'm sorry, but it plays a role, despite your boy Matt Chatham telling us that was a farce.
Well, I do want to, I haven't had a chance to talk to Matt Chatham on the broadcast. He said if you get cut now, you don't have to pass a physical to go to another team.
Yeah, I don't know what that meant.
Is that real?
I don't know.
I need to, when I'm done taking shots at him at Twitter, maybe I'll ask him a serious question. Because that's interesting. If your physical carries over, basically, you've been cleared for preseason football by a team.
But during the season, you'd
you
have
don't,
to take it.
Because you're coming off the street or something. That's interesting to me a little bit. Because he claimed, remember he said he had an injury, couldn't pass
a
physical
he pass
whenever
a physical.
He
that
got
was
cut.
The end for him. By the way, our boy Jeff Howe from the Herald is reporting that Andy's one of Andy's camp favorites.
Wilson Van Hooser?
Wilson Van Hooser is
it's cut.
It's been cut.
Okay.
All already right. Received interest from a couple of teams per service.
Well, you know, you
practice
can't keep
squad
talent
candidate
like
somewhere.
Wilson Van Hooser down.
He's just doing him a solid.
Yeah. You know, you when you got a guy like
yeah,
Wilson
you know,
Van Hooser
Will
that you
Smith,
respect.
Will Smith, Tommy Kelly, Wilson Van Hooser. You want to give them opportunities to get out there and sign. Hook on somewhere else.
All right. Anything else before
Paul's phone's
we,
just blowing up over there, apparently.
Anything else? We got a lot of emails coming in. Calls,
stacked up. A lot of emails.
Everybody wants to get their 2 cents in here. Anything else before we turn it loose?
We're going to dabble in the Wes Welker, Tom Curran.
Yeah.
You know, Peyton Manning is the one who's getting him hurt with his ridiculous throws.
This is going to be one of those that I really don't have any interest
think,
in talking about.
Yeah,
but I can picture myself yelling in about 20 minutes about this.
I think that's kind of irresponsible. I remember
Ooh.
Steve Grogan
Oh.
used to really, really get pissed off when people – because he had the reputation of – hanging his receivers out to dry.
Well, people blamed him for Darryl Stingley.
Right. And he hated that. I mean, that really got under his skin. And, you know, to be a quarterback and be accused of that, boy, I can't think of anything that would make me more mad.
Right.
You know?
Especially long term if he has head injury and now you're blaming him for his life after football.
Right.
I'm sorry. When you're a slot receiver, you make your money going over the middle. You take big hits.
You said earlier, you know, take a guy like Wayne Corbett.
Who do I blame for him, Paul?
Right.
Who was his quarterback?
He probably had like 15 of them. So
okay, so all of them.
Pennington.
Blame all of them.
You know, Chad Pennington.
Boomer Esiason was probably there at some point.
You know.
I don't know.
But all these slot receivers get hurt.
Right.
You know.
They get hit. They take big hits. Just like he took big hits when he was here.
You know, they're shorter guys, and they're pretty much at the same level as somebody when they lean over.
Browning and Nagel.
They're getting thrown into a spot where there are minimum three or four people who could converge on the play at any point in time. Corners, linebackers, safeties.
Slot receivers run a lot of shallow crosses. When you do that, it's not just the guy that's covering you that is the potential to hit you. It's another guy coming off of his receiver, and that's what happened the other day. And I actually thought, to be honest with you, I thought that was a clean hit. I thought he hit him with his shoulder all the way. And I actually think
he got the concussion from the ground.
From the ground.
Yeah.
I think his head hit the ground. I was just going to say that. Now, it doesn't mean I'm happy about it. Or
it's just because
like
Billy O'Brien
it.
Said it was an okay hit, and you're all up Billy O'Brien.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know he said that. But I know that Peyton
Do
got
you follow
really...
other teams?
I know that Peyton Manning got really upset about it, speaking of things that I followed, and he got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct play penalty on that play, which I think is the first of his career.
I was going to say... When was the last time that in the same week of football, Bill Belichick and Peyton Manning got 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalties?
Well, that's true, because they don't really call them. But Manning and Brady could get them all the time, because I think they're constantly whining to them.
And I think they might now.
Yeah.
Brady's going to have to clean it up.
Can't even bob his head at the line anymore.
All right. That's not what I was talking about.
I thought it was a, clean hit with Swearinger. Now, I just saw the Brandon Merriweather hit. Not clean. I mean,
which
meeting with
he's
his
suspended.
Head.
Why is he only getting two games? Didn't he already get a two-game suspension?
Yeah, and
for
they
Madden?
Reduced it to one. So I don't know right. if that's something.
So he should get a four-game
well,
and let's reduce it to three.
I don't know if it's something in the CBA. Or, you know, that's these hits or they have to start at this level. I don't know.
And then he'll appeal it, right? He'll go before Derek Brooks and somebody else.
I guess.
This guy's a repeat offender.
Oh, God, yeah.
Said, I think he's had eight incidents or six incidents or something like that that are either like $50,000 fines like the Todd Heap hit or suspensions.
He was he's so bad that Gruden threatened him in training camp. The Redskins coach said if he goes high, I will suspend him for two practices. I mean, that's how bad it is when you're getting suspended by your own coach and internally.
Yeah. Now, this one, he didn't go high. It was kind of similar to Welker in that Smith was sort of going down, but he leads totally with his head. That's the difference between the Swearinger thing. Swearinger, I thought, did a good job of turning his head to the side and hitting with his shoulder.
Right.
And he hit him with his shoulder and knocked him down. And I agree with Andy. I think his head, Welker's head, hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what might have caused the concussion. But Welker's situation is different, too, because, you know, you're dealing with three concussions now in 10 months. It's time to retire.
Well, he's got that wildly inaccurate quarterback leading him into injuries,
right.
hanging him out to dry
right.
over the middle.
Who's completed about 80-something percent of his passes.
And, you know, his other slot receiver had concussions, too. So, you know, obviously he's the reason.
Austin Colley.
See, you can just he they did. Just showed the hit again, and you can see his head hit the ground when he goes to the side.
Oh, there was definitely a hit with the shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I don't think that he's going to get I mean, I haven't seen anything. I shouldn't say this, but he shouldn't get fined. I don't know if he has. I haven't seen anything about that.
There was no
I
doubt
actually think
hit him
there's a
the
chance
shoulder.
That they might, you know, the Dean Blandinos of the world might be talking to Houston and saying, that actually shouldn't have been a penalty.
In fact,
that's how clean I think that hit was.
Let's show this to the guys. This is how we want you to hit. He actually turns his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
He
leans
away.
With the shoulder.
He turns
now,
away.
Now, the one problem with that is if you believe he makes contact with the head and neck area, that's still a penalty. You can't. Make first contact with the head and neck area.
Right, but that's a really hard one because of how small Welker made himself as he caught the ball. And, you know, it's that I think they exaggerate the Rodney Harrisons of the world, you know, we have nothing to hit, it's flag football, blah, blah, blah. But in this particular case, I would think that's an example of what exactly are they supposed to do. He wants to try to knock the ball out, right? I mean, you can just sit there and say, oh, he can just knock him down. But the defense is taught to try to take the ball away, make plays. I mean, you could just knock them down to the ground without having to light them up like that, but, I mean, they're trying to make plays, too. And
a lot of those plays end with the ball loose in the middle of the field, either incomplete or fumbles. That, I mean, that's another part of doing business in there. And now, he is a guy that has a reputation. I believe he had a one-game suspension in college for a head-hunting issue. He's a guy that I wanted. He's the guy I wanted here to be the Patriots' safety before I fell in love with Buchanan.
And to show you the two sides, we talk about this. We talked about T.J. Ward with Rob Gronkowski last year, right? Where's he supposed to go? I mean, he's a smaller guy. He goes low. He's the guy who took out Dustin Keller, who, by the way, still isn't back, even though we think he's on the Patriots.
he's on the shadow roster.
You know, he's still not back from the hit that Swearinger gave him last preseason on the knee. And everybody said, you don't have to blow up a guy's knee. Well, where's he supposed to hit?
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. People are chomping at the bit here.
These rude callers who lined up before the show.
Is it champing at the bit or chomping?
Chomping.
Chomping,
chomping?
Okay. Andrew's in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How is John Rook doing? He starts his show on the first game of the season, right?
Tuesday, next Tuesday, a week from today, we'll have our full lineup. John Rook every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 2 to 4. We also have a new show starting on Wednesdays, the Bob Soucy Show, play-by-play guy for 98.5. He's going to have his own show Wednesdays from 4 to 6. And, of course, we'll have our fantasy shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 6. So the full lineup starts next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I hear y'all talking about, you know, the hit on Wes Welker. Honestly, it was a good hit, no doubt. I don't think the guy intentionally wanted to take Wes Welker out, but I think Manning and the coach have to be accountable due to the fact that Wes Welker had two concussions prior to that in the last 10 months, they said. And I think New England kind of wore him out the fact that we had him going over through the middle and he took some big hits, even at towards the end, right before we released him in that Baltimore game, he took some shots. I think they pretty much knew that Wes Welker's time was coming, you know, and the fact that he's out there in the second quarter with, what, 10 seconds left in the game, and he's trying to make a statement by, you know, pushing the ball down the field and throwing the ball. I think Peyton Manning, like, he should know better. The guy knows the route. He knows the offense, you know, and timing of the route. I don't think Wes should have been out there.
Well, that's two different arguments.
I think that's one of the most ridiculous arguments I've ever heard, to be honest.
See, I don't have a problem if you say Wes shouldn't be out there. What is he gaining from a preseason game? Head issues, whatever. But if he's out there and I'm Peyton Manning, I'm running my offense. This is our practice.
I can't alter my
playbook. The
starters
were in the game because the third preseason game, the starters are generally in the game. That's what you do. I totally agree with what Andy just said.
But I also would have no problem if people said, well, why don't we just sit Welker out? I mean, he's had the concussions. You know, why don't we just wait? He's good enough. He has a report. We don't need anything out of this. Wait till week one.
You know, the first time in week one where it's the end of the half and they're trying to run their offense and it doesn't go well, they'll be like, well, they had a chance to do it in the third preseason game and they didn't run their offense.
I don't know why we're looking for blame. The blame lies in one thing.
It's just
the sport of football.
Right.
That's where the blame lies. It's a physical sport that results in head
injuries. In this case, I don't think it was avoidable.
Guys get hit.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And I also, I think the
biggest IQ that Wes Welker got, I just feel like, you know, he should have to be out there. I mean, I know what you're saying, that they want guys to gel and have that timing together. I think him and Manny had that time together with their eyes closed. So.
I'm not talking about any timing or anything. I'm saying that's a football hit that could have happened any time.
You're okay with this if it happens in the regular season?
Well, yeah, because it's going to happen, but darn it, it don't have to happen in the preseason because he got concussions all.
Then make him, then put them all on the sideline. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Listen, I think it's very easy to sit here as Patriots fans and make fun of Denver because it was Denver. Can we just call it what it is? That's what Tom Curran's pandering to, right?
Right,
right.
Yeah.
Tom Curran's pandering to the fact that it's Peyton Manning. He's public enemy number one here, and we're trying to make fun of him.
He's doing exactly what I did in the preseason telecast, except he doesn't lead in with saying, I'm going to pander to the audience now.
Well, Tom has always been a Brady is better than Manning guy.
I am too, but that's fine. But to sit here and say that Tom Brady didn't throw that pass 4,000 times to Wes Welker in the 5 years that Welker was here is – irresponsible.
Ooh, twice. Both of you have called him irresponsible.
He ran the same route here countless times, and the same hit happened to him countless times, and I don't have any idea how many times he got concussed in New England because the protocol wasn't the same then as it is now. They have to go out now.
Right.
That's all.
It's a different time, but it isn't that different, and that's where the next step. Everybody says somebody should tell him to walk away. You know, the doctor. Someone
needs to do that.
They haven't reached the point where they can definitively say, okay, you've reached the line. You know, if you have another one, it'll be X.
Right.
The science is still way behind being able to really judge all of that. They're doing the best they can with the current science that exists. And it's imperfect.
And the part that I do wonder about with Welker is I wonder if you know, to give the Patriot side of it. And I wonder if they might have looked at it and said, listen, we know that this guy had X amount of concussions with us. And at some point, now they're getting stricter and stricter. We have to have this independent neurologist. He's going to start missing time. Maybe they did know that. Maybe that was part of it.
I don't buy it.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch to even say that because they wanted him back. They tell us.
He was the first option.
They tell us they wanted him back.
At the same money Denver signed him to. So they were in the same ballpark as Denver.
I even think that's a little disingenuous to sit there and say they knew.
Yeah.
Which was also part of that. They walked away because they knew.
Thanks for the call.
They didn't really
Andrew.
Walk away. They tell us they wanted him.
Well,
and you bought it.
It was kind of a strange story the way that kind of kept going, and then it got some shots in at the agents for misreading that. Well, is this related to the hit or not? Like, it kind of spun out of control.
Because we know the Patriots were upset at the agent, right?
Right.
That's a fact.
We know that. And then you wonder, like, well, what is the agenda here? Are we ripping the agent?
Right.
Because what did that have to do with Welker's concussions?
Yep. The dots don't connect there.
No.
Let's go to Eddie in Maryland on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eddie.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good.
What's up?
Long time no call. Hey, I just wanted to bring some fun to this show real quick, guys. You know, with all the talk that's happening with Garoppolo, and Sam Bradford's injury, I had a little scenario for you guys. I'm curious to see what your thoughts were. Say, for example, week 8, right? There's two scenarios I want you to take. Week 8 comes around, and catastrophe happens to the Patriots. these two scenarios. One, Gronk and Revis both get hurt. We still make the playoffs. The second scenario is Brady gets hurt. We still make the playoffs, but we have a healthy Gronk, healthy Revis. What do you guys feel more, what do you guys think we feel better about in the playoffs?
The first one is Revis and Gronk get hurt, but they still make the playoffs?
With Brady. Yeah.
With Brady. And the second one is no Brady.
But you have
Have Revis and Gronk. And right. Which one would I want?
Okay. Yeah.
I want one. I want no Revis and Gronk, but Brady.
Yeah.
Okay. And in be in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm not that sold on Garoppolo yet.
Well, we had a different version of this earlier. Remember, right. It was they're all great. Gronk is 1,500
everybody
yards. Everybody
reaches
was
their
great.
Potential. Right.
Right. That I would take Garoppolo and that offense.
And everyone's humming. Yeah.
But this one is, to me, a little more. I would take Brady because, unlike Paul, I still think he's capable
now,
of winning
if you tell
January.
Me that, well, I mean, if you tell me that Edelman, Amendola, Gronk, LaFell have all caught on, Vereen is everything –
they don't
maybe
have anybody
now.
To get him the ball. I'm well, sorry. I mean, I might be an island of one in that I have some questions about Brady in the postseason. I don't have questions about Brady versus Garoppolo. I'm sorry. I can't go that far.
I might be swayed there.
Yeah, well, yeah, the point is it's not necessarily Brady against Garoppolo. It's past history, no talent against, you know, the AFC's best, well, the Broncos, and then possibly whoever of the NFC. Yeah. You're saying – those teams against Brady and no
against
Gronk.
Denver, we probably lose in either case.
Yeah,
probably.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Well, I don't
Gronk.
Think there's any probably about it without the quarterback.
I mean, without, I give a little glimmer of hope to Patriots fans.
Without Gronk
just slamming that window.
Well,
shut.
Without Gronk, I see. I'm the opposite of you. Without Gronk and Revis.
Oh, I know you're the opposite of me.
No, I think they have a chance. I'm saying I think they have a chance. You think they don't?
No,
I think
I
without
said,
Gronk
I,
and Revis,
I'm the one
they
that
would
said
still
probably
no. Yeah, but you said they probably lose.
Right.
I think that they have.
Right.
I think they have a chance to win without Gronk and Revis.
You think they probably win?
I don't know if I would go as far as probably win, but I think they have 50-50 shot. Right. I didn't think that they were probably going to lose last year going to Denver.
Oh, I didn't
now,
either.
The way it unfolded, they lost.
I didn't either.
They had no Gronk.
I never
last,
have.
They had no Gronk last year.
I've picked them to lose before.
But I think with Garoppolo as the starting quarterback. I don't give them even a 10% chance to win a game against a quality opponent.
You missed the part that I said, that they, week 8, and they still make the playoffs with Garoppolo. So
yeah, but I don't give them a chance to beat a good team with Garoppolo.
Yeah, see,
that's what I'm saying
that's
to you.
That's the problem. What
you
happens?
Can make the playoffs because you play 15 bad teams.
Right, that, what happens
okay,
when you go up
10,
against
well, but
10
they would
bad
have
teams.
Played exactly. Green Bay. They would have yeah, played
and I,
San Diego.
And I think they'll lose to the much like in 2008. They'll lose to the majority of those teams. They'll still have a record that's good enough to make the playoffs, but they won't be a threat against the good teams.
Right.
That's what my
he will have earned some good game experience.
He yes. will, as did Castle.
Right.
As yeah. did he.
That's what I.
But I don't think he'll be good enough to beat good teams
and
in the playoffs.
That team was dangerous when they didn't make the playoffs. Remember right. Vince Wilfork told us?
Oh, right.
Thank God we didn't make the playoffs. Oh, wait, what? What?
All right, Eddie, thanks for the call.
That was a good argument that erupted.
Point blank.
Yeah. Quick, just Denver thing. If they lose Decker and Welker, their offense is not as good. I don't care, really, the production you get from the guy,
you're not,
your
you're
guy.
Not impressed by Sanders so
yeah.
far? He's been really
oh,
good?
Emmanuel no, Sanders? I know, but to Colonel me, they're Sanders? Not as good. I find it hard to believe they're going to not miss a beat by losing two of their top three receivers. And now you could tell me Julius Thomas is going to be that much better and this and that.
Well, I think Andre Caldwell was a replica of Welker last year when they lost him. Is that Andre Caldwell?
No, but I'm talking about over the long haul, yeah. over 16 regular season games and then two or three postseason games. I am of the opinion if you lose Welker and Decker, you're not as good.
Okay.
You're just not as good.
I would agree with both. I think if Welker plays, they're fine because I think Sanders is close enough to Decker.
Loose change. Oh, wait. Sanders is loose change now? Decker? Who's loose change?
Yeah, but both. The thing is,
both those guys
it's
are
not
loose change.
Because
recapping at home, both of those guys are loose change.
Sanders replaced Decker, you know?
Right. And Caldwell would replace Welker. And I don't think that you would be, I think that you would be worse. I agree with Andy. If you lost both of those guys, now you're asking two different guys to replace guys that I know were good.
Good. Very good.
I know they were good. Yeah. And I don't know for sure that the two guys replaced them. Plus, now you're in the whole thing. You're chipping away. Okay. Now you're starting
plus
already.
The weaker arm.
You're starting off already with two guys that weren't as good as the guys that they replaced. Now they get
and
hurt.
And the drop off season.
You know that's part
and
of Manning's argument.
And the fact that Manning can't play.
Curran's argument what? Is the weak arm. The ball doesn't get there as right. quickly. It gives the defenders more time to converge. He throws the blah, blah, blah. That's your guy.
Yeah, and I would also say that I
did Strippers tweet out yet that you both called Tom Curran irresponsible.
Well, that was Fred first.
I was echoing Fred.
I told you
such a poon.
I told you
on me.
I don't like talking about him because he gets really angry.
He is. He's very sensitive.
I don't like.
He's gonna kick your ass.
I just listen,
Tommy. I love you, buddy.
In this particular thing, I disagree with this point.
You didn't have to call it irresponsible.
Well, I think it's irresponsible to say that Brady didn't do the same thing.
I mean,
that's all.
Let's just say that your arm is weaker than Tom Brady's. So
I don't think
you're going to pull out of your playbook guys going across the middle on shallow routes.
See, I think that his arm is weaker than Brady's, but I don't think it manifests itself on that throw. I don't think that's a throw that is, when you throw a 15-yard out, that's when you see a difference in arm strength. When you throw it a 5-yard crossing route right down the middle, I think anybody can get it there in relatively the same amount of time.
I'm really glad we didn't wait and go live or anything with Bill Belichick because he's
still hasn't
20 minutes late at this point.
Wow.
Justin, you know what that means? Trade.
Making more cuts.
Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey,
we decided to go all the way down to 53 today. I'm just kidding.
I think we should really cut Ryan Mallett. I kind of disagree with Fred's point that the 53rd spot isn't important. I think it's only as important as who you use it on, pretty much. And I think
that's so deep.
Let's say we cut Brian Timms or Malcolm Butler or Roy Finch. I think that was a bad move to keep Ryan Mallett instead of them because of the fact that these are all people that could be diamond in the rough. Like, that's what Pete Carroll does.
Yeah, but that's your personal preference. Bill Belichick is going to keep what he believes to be the top 53. And he may not think that the guys you mentioned are in that group, but he may think that, James Morris is, or, some defensive lineman. Just because you don't share the opinion, the roster spot still has the same value to Bill Belichick. He sees it as the 53rd spot on the roster.
And I agree with you, man. I agree.
But the other part about that, Justin, is, depending on who it is, are we talking about a guy who's inactive?
Well, for example, do I think that Tommy Kelly is worth the 53rd spot on the roster? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have kept him.
I would agree
Bill
with that.
Bill Belichick doesn't deem him worthy of the 53rd slot or the 52nd, first, all the way down. He doesn't deem him worthy of
being
on the team.
But if we're talking about Roy Finch and Brian Timms, what are the odds that those guys are active on game day?
I have no idea.
The odds are better that they're active than, let's say, Ryan Mallett.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think Ryan Mallett would be the backup quarterback, right, and he would be active.
Garoppolo probably be inactive.
And the thing is, Roy Finch and Brian Timms, they have a bigger chance to be active than Ryan Mallett because if Tom Brady is healthy, we're not starting Ryan Mallett in any sort of way.
But they have to have a backup quarterback. It has to be one of the active players.
You're going to have a second quarterback active. You don't go into a game with only one quarterback active.
No, not active.
You mean on the field playmaking.
Active with actually starting. I mean, being on the field and playing.
Well,
correct.
Okay.
Ryan Mallett didn't do anything last year.
Yeah, Ryan Mallett won't be on the field. He's the backup quarterback, but he's going to be one of your active 46.
Right. But his point is Roy Finch has a better chance of contributing as opposed to Ryan Mallett.
Well, I think that you need injuries to get to Brian Timms or Roy Finch.
Timms, definitely. I'm not so sure about Finch. I'm starting to buy the stripper sell job on Finch.
Finch does have, big more plate potential than Ridley because if you give him 555 shots, I think Roy Finch can have more than
555. You sing it, Justin. 555.
I tell you, you give Roy Finch 555 carries, you can peel him off the turf. Because he'll be a puddle of goo.
Plus, given what we've seen of him so far as a Patriot, probably going to be more than nine fumbles, too.
He's a little loose with the ball.
Right. I think he's already fumbled twice.
Well, in the first game.
Right. That's what I mean.
And
he had
very
it out
loose
here. It was
ball.
Way out here in one of those, swinging.
All right, Justin. Thanks for the call.
He barely had one point. What is that? Point of contact.
Point of contact.
Let's go to Elvis in North Carolina. Hey, Elvis.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I saw you guys for the first time on Eagles broadcast on NFL Network, and I was really impressed.
Thank you.
You guys were excellent. I never saw any pictures to go along with the voices before then.
So you're mostly talking to Paul and Andy. You didn't see Fred.
Yeah, I saw Paul and Andy. They were together on lounge chairs or recliners, leather chairs, and the analysis was right on, and I was just really impressed with the whole thing.
Well, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Elvis.
Let us go to No Socks at One Patriots.
And my concern about the whole thing with the cuts is Brian Timms. Telling you, Belichick's a wonderful coach, but he has those blind spots where he locks into certain players and nobody can really identify why he loves certain players. And I hope he doesn't do that and let Timms go, because I'm telling you, we have, over the years, I mean, we just have a dearth of speed receivers that can get downfield, and this guy can get downfield.
I like Timms too. I like him not only as a player, but I like where he's come from, the obstacles that he's overcome.
That I like.
You know, makes him a little bit
I
more,
like that.
Makes him a little bit more hardened, makes him appreciated a little bit more.
Makes you, he's a guy you want to root for,
yeah,
because of what he's been,
yeah,
through.
Well, every time he says, you know, I've been through a lot worse than getting cut. You know, stuff like that. Like
he said it again yesterday, by the way. I don't know, right, if you heard
like
that.
Yeah. I like him too. I hope he
Paul,
stays.
You got a butt?
I don't think he's as good a player as most other people do. I mean, I think there's a reason he's on his fourth team.
Well, we had, but last year we had, you know, Kembrell Tompkins, and you saw where he.
Well, I might be guilty.
Period.
I might be guilty.
Paul
of one
hates
thing.
Him too.
No, I don't like him, but I might be guilty. Aaron Dobson, I might be guilty of holding on here to a flame that might not be necessarily as bright as I think it is. So I'll reserve that and say that I might be more of a believer in Dobson than I should be, based on what I've seen.
But
so
are they, because they took him with a second-round pick.
I'm saying maybe I would like Brian Timms more if Dobson is just sort of what he is, and as opposed to what I think he can be.
But what do you think Timms can be?
I don't know. He's
just because he's on his fourth team doesn't mean he can't play.
A bottom-of-the-roster
fill-in
guy.
Visually.
I've seen the guy that can run a go route. That's it. That's all I've seen.
Why did we not see him on the field earlier? Do you read anything into that?
Is
he not in the mix?
I don't think he's in the mix.
I think in that particular game, remember, you didn't see Browner in there either. They're starting to gear up for week one.
But we never saw Timms.
But we've seen Browner with ones. We haven't seen Timms with ones.
No, I know, but now it's a little late, you know, to do
no,
that.
No, but if you had somewhere in week two, week three thought, this guy could make our team. This guy.
There are other guys, though, that are still they're trying to figure out at the wide receiver position ahead of Timms.
I'd also want to see what he could do against better defense.
Wait, you think they know what they have in Timms and they're trying to figure out the other guys?
I think they ran out of time with Timms, is what I'm saying.
Timms' time.
Well, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to be on the team for a month.
But you're still out of time.
On the reserve list.
He doesn't get to take any reps against a number one corner.
This gets back to, was it Justin that we were talking about, the 53rd spot? This is an interesting thing to me, and I would say that I would actually sound a little hypocritical, but I would agree with Justin on this point. If you're not keeping somebody down the bottom of that wide receiver roster who you think might be able to develop, I think that's one that you can question.
Yeah.
Because I know that I don't have anything to develop in Mallett. So I'm holding on for another year, maybe at the expense of a Josh Boyce or a Brian Timms.
That's a good point.
That I want
that's
one,
kind of the
you know,
point
maybe
that
a little
Eddie
more time.
Making.
And that's the point. Was it Eddie? I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought it was Justin. Okay, yeah. And I think would be a fair one, because I don't think that I have anything long term, and I want to make sure that I'm sure.
No, I
with
get
these
that.
Other guys, but you can also keep Boyce or Timms on the practice squad.
Now, did you guys listen to Bill yesterday on Patriots Monday? He was with
I heard a little of Steve DiAsi.
First of all, he was really in a good mood for whatever reason. Very open. Kevin, did you hear it?
Yes, I agree with you, and I think it was because I think he felt like they went out and had a tremendous practice for whatever that's worth.
But he was effusive, I would say.
And he's mad because he thinks he was only good when Andy's
relatively there. Speaking,
find out next
you know, for Bill, he was effusive when he was talking about the wide receiving corps. Somebody asked him, does he feel like, you know, they're on a lot better play? And he was like,
yeah, basically what he said is he felt like they were way ahead this year than they were at this time last
but
year
with the
wide receiver.
But he's been parroting that for like
well,
8 months.
I just, you know, he's not always like that. And I thought he was really.
But do you believe it?
On a positive note about the wide receivers.
Do you think he believes it?
I don't know.
Or is he just saying it? Like, for example, today he said there were no negatives with Tommy Kelly, Will Smith, or James Anderson. Well, then why'd you cut him? No negatives.
Well, the positives for the other guys are more.
Really? James Morris.
Well, absolutely. I mean,
I'm not buying.
Well, someone's got to play Thursday, too. Part of that is that veteran.
But there were
young
negatives. If there were no negatives, they'd still be on the team.
No. I mean,
either the contract or the age or the value of the job.
No, maybe the other guys just simply beat them out.
Yeah, I don't buy it. Well, then there were negatives. How'd they beat them out? They were better than them at something. Well, right? So there's negatives. You're less than.
No.
Greater than, less
you
than.
You can easily say these guys were who we thought they were when we signed them, but the other guys have risen.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
They're on a, like Paul said, they're on a path of, you know,
but to me,
improvement.
Not as good as. Not as good a pass rusher as blah, blah, blah. Those are negatives. He's not, he doesn't measure up.
I know, but you're trying to make him say something he doesn't really need to say. By doing what he did, we know his actions prove that he's happier with the guys
right.
he
So
kept.
I don't need him to say no negatives. Just say what he started with. We do what's in the best interest of the football team. I don't need the no negatives line. There were negatives. You cut them. There were negatives. Inherently, there are negatives.
Why do you think that no one ever asked?
I don't understand why you're insisting on that. I mean, you know.
They didn't make the team.
They could have done everything you asked them to do the way you expected them to do, but there were other guys that ascended them.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
So they weren't good enough. Yeah. That's a negative.
They didn't measure up.
But anyway.
It's all comparisons. It's all the little alligator, greater than, less than.
Of course it is.
And somebody was greater than Tommy Kelly for a reason.
But Tommy Kelly did what he's done and did it the way we expected.
Oh, we don't know.
That's not a negative.
Well, we don't know what he's done. I mean, the guy's coming off an ACL in his 11th season.
Bill said there were no negatives with them.
I know what Bill said.
As much as I enjoy a good Paul-Fred argument, I think that I don't see how you can get around the fact that clearly, they weren't good enough.
They weren't as good as the guys that
right.
stayed.
So there are negatives.
So those are the negatives.
For some reason, they weren't as good as. So they didn't measure up, so those are negatives.
I want to know one question. Why?
I didn't say they flat out suck, but they're not as good as.
Why when people say...
Derek Johnson, by the way, also a poor
Derek Johnson
cut.
And Deontay Skinner, according to some people
You could have won a bet there, Paul. Didn't know he was still on the team, Deontay Skinner.
Why do people... why don't you think... When Bill says we did what we thought was in the best interest of the football team, why do you think that people never say to him, cutting Tommy Kelly in the best interest of the team?
And that's the thing. I would always start a question with knowing that you do things in the best interest of the team. Why did you cut Tommy Kelly?
I think that's argumentative. I think that puts him on edge.
Yeah, but I would just – I don't know why –
We assume that everything you do is in the best interest
of
the team.
See, I would assume that too. But what I don't understand is why, if he says that to you, why you wouldn't say, well, what about specifically Tommy Kelly made that in the best interest of the team? I don't think that's argumentative. Now, I think that he probably would just repeat, we make all our moves with the best. I don't think he would answer it. But I wonder why no one ever asks
him. I know.
How is it in the best interest of your team to cut a guy who has no negatives?
Okay, so now that's argumentative.
I know.
That's being an a-hole.
That's being a jet.
All right, let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. You know, for years watching preseason games and watching this defense suck, you know, I would always say to myself, well, it's the preseason and, you know, they're not scheming and they'll get it right during the regular season. And then they come out and Chad Henne throws for 500 yards on them. You know, on a Monday night, and they suck. Last Friday, I just took a deep breath, and I said, finally, it looks like they have a defense.
So based on what you just said.
But remember the year that Andy dubbed the Patriots defense the best in the league against Tampa Bay. So let's not.
Remember the split votes for Defensive Player of the Year between Carter and Mayo.
I have as much hope as you, Christian, but let's see what happens when they come up against a real
offense. When they play really well, people say, there it is.
Right.
But when they play really badly, it's because they're not game planning. That's the part that I don't understand.
You can't take anything from these stupid games.
I take nothing. I totally agree with you. I take nothing out of these games.
You got to take something.
Especially not when. Individual performances.
I don't even take that.
But you have to take something.
No.
Why do they play him?
Yeah, if a guy does something
they
good.
They play him to
at
get
least
ready.
Okay.
Physically ready.
Yeah.
To get tackled. Get
when
hit.
A guy does it's something individually, that's nice to see, you know? And, okay, they can do that. We've seen them do something. And you hope that carries over to the season.
Yeah. And if he can't win any battles one-on-one without game plans, then he probably isn't ready physically
to
play in the league.
And that's even worse. Right.
I think that's really the only thing that you can possibly evaluate.
Right. As Bill Parcells would say, if they don't bite when they're puppies, they probably won't bite when they're dogs.
The dogs, yeah. And, you know, I hear all that. And I remember watching Mayo was rookie year and hitting Ray Rice and Ray Rice's helmet coming off. And I'm like, all right, looks like we got a player at linebacker. You know, I remember
Haven't seen it since.
I know, he's overrated, Paul, I know.
No, that's it. I was Andy.
Andy.
What did I say? You said you haven't seen it since.
Yeah, but you said, a lot of good.
Last time we started playing.
There you go. All right. That's what you said.
Go together.
really disappointed. Is that guy's thoughts on it? Really disappointed in Brana. I haven't seen anything. I don't know.
Agree.
I had such high hopes for this guy.
Other than a couple practices in which he was very physical and probably would have been flagged if there was a game, I agree. I don't know what to expect now from Browner. I don't know what to expect.
Could he be cut?
He's my surprise cut.
What'd they pay?
$1 million guaranteed.
He could be cut. He could be cut.
We're just pissing away $1 million.
I was going with the surprise cut. He thinks he could be
cut. I think they've pissed away more than that.
I think $350,000.
I think they've got $11 million of dead money, don't they?
Is that the most? Based on our unofficial.
Well, you have dead money from Kelly for $600,000.
Right, seven of it is Hernandez probably, but you know. You got a lot of dead money already on the books.
An interesting little tidbit on the Kelly thing that somebody brought up elsewhere. I don't know who to credit. But he's going to visit Arizona. Darnell Dockett got hurt. He could sign there, whatever. But Isaac Sopawaga is in Arizona. And if Sopawaga made the Cardinals team, the Patriots would actually get an $850,000 cap credit for one of those offset things.
Yep.
So if Kelly goes there, there's a better chance maybe Sopawaga doesn't make the team. So not only do you carry the $600,000 from Kelly's dead money, you're going to have to be stuck with the Sopawaga $800,000. You could have cost yourself money, up to $1.5 million for cutting him.
Well, man, that's crazy math. That's NFL math for you, I guess.
It is NFL math. It certainly is.
Pretty crazy. It certainly
but
is.
The Browner.
All right, Christian.
I think the Browner thing is fascinating. I don't think he's been very good all summer. He's been physical, but aside from that, I don't think he's been very good.
I don't think I've seen enough in him in extended play. You know, I think
but do you think he's been great on the field? On the practice field? Physical.
Yeah, physical.
But great?
Yeah.
Like number one corner-esque, which is what some people were trying to bill him as, or at the very least, pure starter?
No.
I don't even think he's been a pure starter based on what I've seen out there. And then I understand why he's playing late in the third preseason game, because he's not going to be here.
Right.
He's in a different group. But to play late and then give up plays is not good. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right. Let's go to Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
I'm getting lightheaded.
Good afternoon, boys.
What's up?
Hey, listen, comment quick. All these guys that got cut, obviously there had to have been negatives about each one of them, but Belichick isn't going to say what they were publicly or even acknowledge that there were.
I agree.
Negatives in public.
I get that.
So just give me the company. Give me the company line you always give me. We do what's in the best interest of the football
team. Andy's point is, don't tell me there weren't any negatives.
There were. That's just obvious.
You wouldn't cut a guy.
But Andy, he's going to say that there weren't any negatives.
Why?
He's going to say that every.
He doesn't have to say anything.
He doesn't have to say anything.
Every opponent this year is going to be the reincarnation of the 65 Green Bay Packers.
Okay, but you know what he? But Al, you know what he doesn't say about the other opponents? There's no negatives.
He also doesn't say that about every player he cuts.
He says all the different things that he can find that the other team does pretty well. They have the best gunner on the left side, on the boundary side. He'll find something that they're really good at. But you know what he'll never say? There were no negatives when we watched this video.
And he always
says...
When
we watched video of the Miami Dolphins, we saw no negatives. He'll never say that.
He always says they did everything we asked him to do. I have no problem with him saying that. Because that is probably true. But to go the next step and say there were no negatives, I'm still talking here, Al. I know you have a big voice, but you're the caller, I'm the host, and I'd like to talk here for a second.
Wow.
He doesn't always say there are no negatives with
players.
This is new. I have no idea. I don't.
Maybe this was a different situation.
Argument.
What's different?
We argue for 45 minutes over the difference between a shoestring and a shoelace. I think we're arguing over nothing.
I think in this case, he could have had three guys who we know what they are. We're going to sign them, and they were exactly who we thought they were.
Well, see, but there's also a layer of difference with Kelly being a holdover, right? Because Will Smith and James Anderson are free agent signings that didn't work out.
Yeah.
But Kelly's been here for a year.
Kelly didn't play last year.
But he's been here for 2 years, and he played five games.
The first five games.
I think this is more a tribute to the guys that stayed than it is the guys that just got cut.
And that may be true.
He's saying that the guys that stayed, despite these guys having no negatives, their level was ascended by the guys
that's
we
all
kept.
Fine. I'm just saying this is a different. He doesn't always do this.
This
is a change.
I agree with that.
So why the change? My boss once told me when something changes or read between the lines, all these things.
He's the only one that's allowed to read things into what Belichick says.
I think in this case, you know, he couldn't find anything wrong with these guys except for the fact that we've got guys that are now better and younger.
Do you buy that?
And maybe cheaper.
Do you buy that?
Well, yeah, he cut them.
No, I don't necessarily buy that.
I didn't say do you. I didn't say do you buy that he thought that. I said do you.
Oh, I do buy. Well,
I think the Tommy Kelly one is silly.
The Tommy Kelly one. I was surprised. I'm still surprised. Go ahead, Al. I'm sorry.
give me a 20-second injury timeout. All right, look. Listen. Here's the question: do you think there's any chance at all the Pats deal a mallet to the Rams now that Bradford's hurt?
No,
no.
In fact, Fisher has come out and said they're sticking with Hill, but. Who knows? He could be talking coach speak as well.
As a backup.
I don't think that. Yeah,
it would definitely be as a backup if anybody traded for him.
Yeah,
they're not going
to
trade.
Too late
for him.
To learn their system and everything. But I don't think the Rams are going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I thought it might have been an easy way to get a draft pick for Mallett, but I guess it might be better to hang on to him if you don't think Garoppolo's ready. I like Garoppolo. I think Garoppolo is ready to be the backup.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I mean he's shown he's as good as Mallett.
I think he's at least as good as Mallett.
In the short thing that we've seen. Now, over extended period, we like Paul has said many times, we don't know what happens when they close the curtain on practice.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot we don't know about Mallett.
And we also know that if either one of them plays this year for an extended period, there's going to be bad stuff.
Yeah, and again, I keep saying that I'm phrasing it all as pro Garoppolo, but really, it's more of an anti-Mallett. Yeah. I don't think anything of Mallett. That's why I already think Garoppolo's as good as him.
I got a question about Garoppolo. There isn't, even with all the satellite football and everything, how much Eastern Illinois do you really see? Was he a conventional or was he a spread quarterback in college?
Spread gun, quick release.
Everything was out of the shotgun. Everything was out of his hands and snap, backstep, throw.
But he had this little white mulleted receiver that Paul
who
hated.
Who got cut yesterday, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Eric Laura. I meant to tell you that this morning.
But he also passed on the run a lot. He was a
mobile
quarterback.
Yeah, but the it was a spread offense
the spread.
In the gun where, boom, he's getting rid of the football. Boom, reads, boom, reads, boom, reads. And
well, he doesn't seem to be, like I say, he doesn't seem to be scared out there, taking the ball under center or running conventional.
He did in practice early. He looked nervous in practice.
And every once in a while he has a play where it starts to break down like every young quarterback does.
Okay.
Yeah. And he runs a little bit and has a little deer in headlights look. But I would too if there were three 300-pound guys chasing me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're not looking at Blaine Gabbert is what I'm saying. I think we're looking at a guy that the stage is not too big for him. And eventually, who knows?
Maybe he's going to start.
Groom him into being.
Bill Belichick has already said he's going to start.
This will be another step in his progression. He's now going to start a game, and with that comes jitters that doesn't happen. You know, when you're coming in, it's a difference.
Not for him. It's just football. Field's still 100 yards
scenario.
By 53.
He can say that all he wants, but he's going to feel them.
The preseason doesn't count, but it does matter.
Yeah.
And so it's certainly going to matter to him when he starts. Against the Giants, no doubt.
Yep.
Have a great day.
All right, Al.
That should be like a Fox National game tagline. The preseason doesn't count, but it does matter.
Let's get to some emails.
And by the way,
Web Radio
is going to get a chance
I got a thing.
Where are you going?
I got EEI today. I told you that earlier.
He's got a chance to. He's going to get a chance to play at least a little bit against some Giant starters, even though the Giants have been horrific this summer.
All right, let's get to some of the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Food's going to be on the way, so we'll take a break when it gets here. But until then, Nick writes in, quick question about Welker. He seems to be getting injured a lot more with the Broncos, particularly suffering with concussions. Is this a result of tons of hits over time, or is TB12 just more careful with his wide receivers and Manning? By that I mean, does TB12 intentionally put the ball places to limit big hits and Manning doesn't? Okay, so this is Nick obviously read Tom Curran's article. Chad also says, from Atlanta, this whole story about Welker seems to be blown way out of proportion. DJ Swearinger is not at fault here.
It
was just a series of unfortunate events and angles. Welker knows exactly what he signed up for, and he would never blame Manning or Brady, so we shouldn't either. I didn't like the throw Manning made, but Manning, Welker, and Swearinger were just doing their job. If you want to blame someone, blame the ground for being too hard. Okay?
I didn't have any problem with the throw Manning made. But other than that, I was 98% on board with that email.
Yeah. Let's see. Dan wants to talk about Malley. He says, I don't know how many fans actually feel this way, but I don't get some of the preoccupation with Ryan Mallett's trade value. The team has already proven they're willing to cut players that actually played meaningful snaps the previous year, but for some reason, we just can't let Mallett walk for nothing. If the trade is there to be made, then great. But even if he blows up somewhere else, I'm not going to feel too bad if we didn't get a trade middle-round pick back. The general opinion is that he hasn't worked here. Him potentially starting somewhere else shouldn't really matter if there was no chance of starting for us. Well, certainly if he gets traded this year, he's not starting anywhere unless this is a rash of injuries.
But he's not going to go. I don't think anybody is going to lose their starting quarterback and acquire him to start for them. They're going to acquire him to be the backup, and then if something happens to that guy, maybe he steps in. But listen, stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened. I don't know.
Let's see. Cookie simply writes, Brandon Browner equals Adrian Wilson.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but I have him on my surprise cut list. And again, that doesn't mean I believe that he's going to get cut. It means I would be surprised if he got cut. But I don't think that he is the lock that he is purported to be. I don't think that he is certainly a starter. Without question, when he gets back off of that suspension in week five, I just think there's he's been rather unimpressive.
Pat,
if you ask me.
Pat in Agawam writes in, heard you guys talking about Belichick's interview on EEI yesterday. I was wondering if you put any stock into him saying all three second-year wide receivers have made huge strides, and if you think that bodes well for Josh Boyce, or was he just being facetious? Well, I don't know if he's being facetious, but he could have just been, you know, overly positive.
A good coach.
Yeah.
You know, pumping up his
players. I talked about it, and I did think he was a little bit more positive than he usually is. The person I thought it bode most well for was Dobson, because Dobson we've seen nothing out of so far because of injury, yet he mentioned that, you know, in the things that he's done so far, he can tell that he's way ahead of last year. So, to me, that's the guy that I thought it, you know, he'll probably stick.
Well, you know, Dobson's not going anywhere.
Why?
He's a second-round pick.
So?
0% chance of him getting cut.
They've cut second-round picks before.
Not in year two.
No, but, I mean, maybe they had it with him. Yeah. But it doesn't seem like they have.
Unless he did something off the field that we're not aware of, he's 100% locked to make the roster. But it's funny that that's the thing that you were most encouraged about. That was the part that made me most sort of dismissive of the comment. Because he's done nothing.
Right.
And you're telling us how much strides he's made. He hadn't even been on the field.
Peter in Maryland says, I'm with Paul. Make Jimmy the backup. His poise, improving decision-making, and soft passing touch bodes well for the future. A lot of use of the word bodes here. Yeah.
Bodes.
Mallett brings little to the team. I prefer to see the roster spot go to another promising development player. That was Eddie in Maryland's point. All right, food's here. We need some fuel to keep going. We'll be here until 2 o'clock here in PFW in Progress.
We're NRG. And we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England.
The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
We all know it's a matter of time before Eric snaps.
I mean, I've dialed it back at least like 65-70%. And I think the harshness with which I've has been dialed way back. Because I feel bad for him. You know, it used to be a joke. He is a troubled soul.
The real question is, who will feel the wrath of Eskal first?
He's realizing that, you know, he actually might jump from the ledge, so stop yelling jump.
More that he'll go postal and take me out first, but...
Oh, okay. And I don't mean that, you know, literally.
I kind of do.
Will it be Fred?
The only thing I thought of is he might take Fred out first because Fred gives it to him more on the radio now. And he probably sees Fred as allowing this to happen, so he might have more animosity.
I don't give it to him. I just ask him questions.
How about Paul?
But you're screwed because you have no way out.
If he comes after me and Fred, we have no way out.
Yeah, I'm in a cage.
It has to be Andy.
I've sort of mapped out the various ways that I can get from my cube out of the building.
You're done.
Well, yes, I probably am. You're right. I can go out the main lobby. I can go out IFP. I can run down my hell and go down, like, the back way. I have figured out ways.
Yeah. Eric is totally going postal on Andy first.
He always comes to work late, and I'm always there already, so I'll just be at my keyboard. I'll never see it coming.
Right.
It'll be one in the back of the skull, and it's over.
Right. No chance.
Let's just hope it can wait till the end of the show. Now, back to PFW in Progress with Eric Scalavino and hopefully the rest of the boys.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Caught me in mid-chew once again. Nice little bit. Very heartwarming there, Kevin. Good. That'll be one for the HR department. Anyway, PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
I got another cut off the Twitter machine.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested. Jeff Howe, Travis Hawkins, safety.
Okay.
Per source.
All right.
It has been released.
This must be the agents, I guess, getting that out there, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's in the agents' best interest to get it out there as fast as they can.
Right. All right.
You know, see if they can get someone else.
508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500. Toll free. At a veal parm, by the way. I've only been able to eat half of it, though. I'm not like Andy. I don't know how.
I ate a little more than half.
He can freaking inhale a sandwich like no one's business.
Yeah, I thought that bit was going in a different direction.
Yeah.
I thought it was all about what was going to finally make him snap and have something to do with the ALS challenge.
I would have liked to have included some Eric quotes in there, some sound from Eric.
But didn't you feel like it was setting it up?
He wasn't there that day.
It was setting it up like what was going to make him snap.
You don't have to be the one day. You can.
You know what I'm saying?
You going to argue with me on this, Kevin? You take the quotes from various times and intersperse them, is what
all
I'm saying.
All going to the doctor's almost done, too.
All right. Let's get back to the emails, which there are a lot of. Lauren from New York City writes in, I really hope this isn't true, but is it possible Belichick might be playing up Garoppolo in an effort to trade him? I can't imagine that happening, but this is Bill Belichick we're talking about. Is there even a 0.0001% chance? Well,
I don't think so.
I don't either. I think that they invested a second-round draft pick on this guy.
No, so you would trade him for something that you thought was worth a second-round pick, but I don't think that they will trade him.
Right.
I think they think he's the future.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if they were one player away from having a Super Bowl locked in, you know, they might trade him for that guy, but they're not. It's unreasonable to think that still in the preseason. And I think they like him. And, you know, we talk a lot about scouts and coaches having big egos and, you know, they make that pick and they, you know, kind of lean over backwards to make sure that the guy has every chance to succeed because it validates their pick. Well, here, I mean, a lot of people criticize him for taking a quarterback in the second round. And so far, this guy's got a glimmer of hope here. So I think that they would do everything they can to help this guy succeed. You know, it makes them look good. Keith in Tampa. Stupid question, but any idea why we've been wearing the whites at home so far this preseason? A lot of people have asked it. This obsession about uniforms and never ceases to amaze me. They have been wearing white at home. I just think maybe they're just holding off the home blues for the regular season. But they were night games, Paul. So the white, black, dark
but
thing.
But a lot of teams do the opposite in the preseason. I just assume it's because of the heat.
Well, I think the sun, has an effect when the sun's out, the reflection. But I just think it's a preseason. We're at home. Let's save our blues for the regular season game. It's like, I don't even think they put a logo.
They're saving anything.
They don't put a logo in midfield or in the end zone.
Well, that is because they're changing the field back and forth for the refs.
Oh, is that why it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll do that for the whatever, week three, right?
Right.
The home opener's not till week three.
And if you've been here at the game, you notice at the end of the tunnel, they don't put the Patriots helmet out yet.
I haven't noticed that because I've been stuck inside the bowels.
They just keep it a tunnel with no Patriots helmet. So there's some things that they just don't do in preseason.
They don't even paint in the sidelines as I hiccup into the microphone.
Yeah. So
I might have an issue. Once I start hiccuping, it's hard for me.
Steve and Colleen, apologies for being late to the party today, but while the cut of Kelly has surprised us, is there a possibility that Kelly will be the branch for the Patriots this year? Cut, return, cut again, then returns. Or do you believe Kelly is gone forever? Well, I mean, the fact that he is already talking to at least one other team. I don't know what the deal with Branch was, if they had some kind of secret handshake deal with him. But I don't think that's the case with Kelly. Let's see. Jordan from Canada. Had my 30th birthday yesterday, and the girlfriend got me a signed Brady Michigan jersey. Not too shabby, but it's probably fake. Don't say that. It's probably real. If Big Al doesn't like 45 minutes of arguing over shoelaces, he should go listen to Felger instead. Chris with the TIAN, Chester, all the PFW listeners, even you goofs, Reading this, we should do a fantasy league this year. Loser buys lunches, bottom up buys lunch for the year. What? Okay. I don't do fantasy.
I don't either.
Yeah.
It bores me.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, my problem is I don't want to do it because if I do, I have to really be into it. And I don't want to be paying attention to all these guys on other teams all year. You know?
Yeah, I just, I'm not, I don't make fun of people for doing it. I know a lot, that's like sort of in vogue. If you don't do fantasy, but you have to make fun of the people that do it.
I don't do that.
And I don't care about other people who do it. I do think that some people take it ridiculously seriously. You know, if you're doing it sort of as like a diversion or something to sort of gamble on, give you a little bit more incentive, then I think it's fun, but I just don't find it very fulfilling. I don't, like you said, it's like worrying about making sure that your lineup is set and whatnot. I did it 1 year. I told you I never made any moves. So, like, I had weeks that there was the bye week. I had no kicker on my team. I had, you know, when guys got hurt, by the end of the year, I had just enough to fill out all the spots on the team. I had no backups because they were all hurt. And, you know, I got lucky because it didn't really hurt me and I still won, but it was boring. You know, like, I didn't find any enthusiasm with it at all.
Ben in Chicago, I believe there is a general consensus that Mallett is not a very good quarterback. Also, I feel perception that if Brady was to have a season-ending injury, the season as a whole would be a loss. In that scenario, Brady out for the year, would it not make sense to give Garoppolo instead of Mallett starting time to further his development? Therefore, would it not make sense to cut Mallett and use his spot in the 53-man roster to have additional developmental player?
Well, that's what we've been talking about,
yeah.
Really, the whole show. I feel like you would be in trouble if Brady got hurt for the whole year.
Yeah, at this point, who would has a better chance of winning a game, Garoppolo or Mallett?
Mallett. Today.
Yeah.
You ask me that in 4 weeks, I might have a different answer.
Right.
Based on, you know, not necessarily something that I will be able to see, because, as you said earlier, it's behind closed doors and we don't get to see it. But I think Garoppolo was making rapid developments over the last 3-4 weeks.
Yep.
Mallett, I have not seen rapid development in 4 years. I've seen a guy that has immense physical skills that doesn't always look like he knows what he's doing.
Ben also says, how many like lunches like would I have to like buy you guys like in order for you to never like take a call like from Justin in Virginia ever again.
I think that's okay.
That's a little.
We don't like the listener
on
listener crime.
We like that.
Yeah, we do. Because we argue. You know, listener check.
Yep. Rick in Fredericton. In a lot of ways, the article Paul wrote this week on the perception that Patriots fans see Ridley as a home run hitter seems to sum up the way you guys see Patriots fans. You hear some callers.
Wasn't about Patriots fans, by the way. That was not about Patriots fans. That's about the more so the media. Check.
You hear some callers on the morning shows and in some cases overgeneralize the opinions of a small percent of fans. Judging by the hundreds of posts on the PFW Elite site on this topic, there is a pretty broad range of opinions on Ridley, and it seems to be pretty evenly split across the board. I think there are just as many people who are done with Ridley as there are people who share my opinion, which is the fumbling is overstated and somewhat exasperated by Belichick benching him after almost every fumble. I don't know anyone who thinks Ridley is a big play back, but he is the best we have at running between the tackles. I can forgive the odd fumble, just like I can forgive our offensive line for allowing pressure on Brady, resulting in an occasional sack or fumble or interception.
Who wrote this email?
It was a guy.
Yeah, you don't remember who?
Yeah, I just deleted it.
Then I apologize for not remembering the name. Because, I mean, he takes it, he attacks it from a pretty sound level. Pretty logical level. My question would be, if you submit that he's not a big play running back, why do you accept the occasional fumble? Because I think that's just the opposite of what I would be looking for in a running back. If I had a guy who gave me big play potential, I would be willing to overlook the occasional fumble. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's because I'm not, I think they're related. It's because I'm not getting the big plays that the fumbles are magnified.
Yep.
I can't handle that. If I'm going to go at 4.3 yards a carry, I can't handle that if I'm going to fumble. And by the way, this is part of what I wrote yesterday. He does fumble more than the other guys do. The stats show that. the big name running backs fumbled far less frequently in the first 3 years than Ridley has, with the exception of Adrian Peterson. And again, you're not getting Adrian Peterson type production.
TC and Agawam, I'm not sure what he means by this. He says, no way Mallett makes it past week four. Also, Butler starts week one at cornerback.
You know, that's an interesting one. Andy thinks there's no chance.
The Butler one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times does he have to start in the preseason before you say, yeah, I wonder if they're going to start him?
I don't think there's no chance, particularly if a team comes out, you know, with five wide or something like that.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're in your base defense. You have two cornerbacks on the field. Darrell Revis is on the left side.
Yeah.
Who's on the right? I think it'd be Dennard. But Butler has been involved in too many of these things with the regular players for me to dismiss him as a possibility.
Yeah.
I've been very impressed with him. He's had a terrific camp.
And you wonder, with the whole Dennard thing, you know, we know that he's not going to be, at least, you know, we're pretty sure he's not going to be suspended by the league at this point. But who knows what the team might do. Maybe the plan is to hold him out week one.
No Mankins today at practice, by the way.
Okay.
According to our own Eric Scalavino.
You know? Do you think that it could be possible team discipline against Dennard that will take effect in week one?
No.
Okay. All right.
I think there could be league discipline that we don't know about. You never know about that. I would be highly surprised at this point. But, I mean, to your point, I think are you saying that the league, the team knows the league is doing something?
No, that the team has already planned to do
something.
The team
won't do anything. I'm convinced of that.
Okay. Cavern in West Palm Beach, I believe it's time to move on from Ridley. Sure, I know that he's the best pure running back on the team, but he's become an ineffective head case in my eyes. I'm taking the cat in Chicago stance regarding Ridley. My question is, if we were to cut him, how comfortable do you feel with the backs we have? Are there any other roster bubble running backs like besides Law Firm around the league that we could sign who could contribute as a true lead back? I'd love to see Steven Jackson in Atlanta cut and we could pursue him.
I would not dismiss the Law Firm. I think that he has a chance to get cut based on some of the stuff I've read. And if he does, I've been writing this forever. Labor Day weekend, there's going to be a running back that Bill Belichick likes that he's going to go after. And I think there's a chance. We read your attendance, Eric. Eric Scalavino joining us.
Eric is here, and he's going to tell us what happened at practice, also with Bill Belichick, while I take a few bites of my sandwich.
Yeah, the big surprise.
No Mankins.
No Mankins today. And don't worry, I'm pretty safe in saying he wasn't one of the cuts that they need to make to get down to 75 today. But most of the other guys, I think, would fall into that category.
Well, a lot of those guys, I'm sure you've been on your Twitter machine like we have.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys, people have been reporting. Deontay Skinner, Derek Johnson, Wilson Van Hooser.
Yep. Jameer Thomas.
Well,
he's one of the missing. I'm just
I wouldn't think that he'd be one
of the
missing.
Let me go through the list, and then you tell me which ones have been reported. You said Johnson. Thomas was not one of the ones that was reported.
No, he's not.
Okay, he was not at practice.
He wouldn't have gotten cut.
Tyler Gaffney, of course, Travis Hawkins, Cameron Gordon, Deontay Skinner, Ben Bass. Still 2 days in a row now for him.
I think there's a chance that he could get cut.
Yeah, I do too. Chris Martin, probably not. Probably be on a list.
NFI for him,
yep.
Gaffney.
Van Hooser and Chris Jones, who's probably just still nursing his
Now, Thomas
injury.
May have been placed on IR or something like that.
Possibly.
Because I would think that I actually was somewhat impressed with him. Jameer Thomas. He hasn't practiced very much,
no.
But I thought he was very active on the practice fields when he was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they probably like the fact that he has some safety corner experience from college.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably try to find a way to keep him. I'm not sure there's a spot on the roster for him. I'm pretty sure there's not a spot on the roster for him. But I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to hold
on
to him
somehow.
You're
dealing with a little something today?
Yeah, I got a head cold.
You do? Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so I'm not just sniffing because of all the things that I say that are really insightful.
I thought maybe you were getting
I had the hiccups for a little while.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I'm falling apart.
Jeez. As far as Belichick's presser goes, a lot of questions about cuts and how they arrive at those conclusions and, you know, generic. There was a lot of, in general, how do you, those kind of questions. And nothing really revelatory happened over there, but
I think Travis Hawkins,
yep,
Derek Travis Hawkins, Derek Gordon, Wilson, I mean, Derek Johnson, Wilson Van Hooser,
Cameron Gordon.
I think Cameron Gordon and definitely Deontay Skinner were reported as having been, told he ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here no more.
Right. And they were at 83, so they needed to make cuts.
I would add
so,
Martin and Gaffney to those.
As list guys, right? So then they would only need one more. So maybe Ben Bass is a candidate for that?
Yeah, I think Ben Bass would definitely be a candidate. I can't remember for sure if Cameron Gordon was one of the ones I read on the Twitter machine.
Okay.
But the other ones, Skinner, Johnson, Van Hooser, Hawkins, those guys I remember seeing.
Yep. So are you okay, Fred?
Well, he was trying to finish up his
But he's holding his
I feel like my jaw hurts.
Does the way you bit into that sandwich? A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
On this side.
Actually, yeah, it does.
Hey, Freddie, did you happen to see the Allen?
I don't mean to alarm you, but it does look a little bit swollen.
Yeah, do you have like a toothache?
No.
My wife had to go for a root canal over the weekend. And it was like an infection up in the bone. It's bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's nasty. Did you see the story about Allen Branch in Buffalo?
No.
He got the DUI in the morning of the game. It's like early Saturday morning.
No.
And then, you know, the Bills released him, but he blew a .14, which is ridiculously drunk.
Yeah.
But you know why they pulled him over? He had to stop, open the door, and vomit out the door while driving.
Oh, my God.
That's a pretty
good
indication.
That's unbelievable to me.
That you're drunk.
Yep. That is, yeah. That guy deserves to be in jail.
And it was the day of a game? Or the morning of a game?
I think the story I read was that it was Friday night, early Saturday morning, and they played on Saturday. Now, I think that's what it said.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get confused when they say Saturday morning, like if they mean...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, so I read it as being early Saturday morning, like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning.
That's what I was
Saturday, saying. And I think they played Saturday afternoon.
Good Lord.
All right, so anything else, Eric?
Well, I mean, just good news that Sebastian Vollmer's been back for a couple of days, and Silver Seelinga has been practicing for a couple of days without anything on his left hand, which he hurt in Washington. So they're fairly healthy. Yeah. I'm just scratching my head a little bit at the Mankins thing, wondering if that's either an injury or some personal related or whatever. But he's the only one I have any real
concern
about.
Could be a rest day. You never know with a veteran like that.
Possibly.
It would be an odd time for
it. It would be an odd time for it, though. Yeah, I agree. So that's
not in full pads today either.
Shells today. Yep, that's right.
Now, did you happen to listen to Bill Belichick yesterday on EEI?
No, I read some of the quotes that were attributed to him, though.
Okay.
Why?
No, I just, you know, a couple things that stood out to us. Andy and I argued where Belichick said that there were no negatives to Kelly.
Well, that was today.
He said that today.
Oh, that was today in the press conference.
That yeah, and, okay. You know, if I didn't work here, the obvious question would have been, well, why is it in the best interest of the football team to cut a guy who has no negatives?
Well, my point was they might be exactly who you thought they were, but the guys that you have just ascended them.
Right, but that would be the negative.
But that would be the negative.
They weren't as good.
They're not
as
good.
Kept.
So if you don't have any negatives, that means you have all positives. So how is it in the best interest
of
the football team?
What I think he's saying is it's nothing that these guys did wrong. It's that the guys, other guys did
things better. It's probably something as simple as
that.
That's
all he's saying.
I don't understand why he would use that phrase.
Yeah, it's bad phrasing.
But I don't also take every single phrase that he uses and try to make something huge out of it the way you and Andy tend to do. It was very rare that I was just sitting there letting them
Where
argue.
Where is he, by the way?
He had a thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, and I even said, like, in the middle, I go, as much as I love the Paul and Fred arguments, I think we can move on. And then Al from Georgia got in and was like, this is going to be a 45-minute argument about whether it's a shoelace or a shoestring.
Well, but he does do that a lot.
Andy?
I mean,
yes.
No, well, yes, he does that. But, I mean, Bill says things like that sort of contradict themselves. Like, I mean,
I think that he probably meant it the way Fred took it.
Probably, but, you know, if he did, then say it the way Fred said
but
it.
But I do agree with Andy in that the way he said it is sort of impossible. Like, there had to be something negative.
Exactly.
And you don't have to say, like, there were no negatives. We did what's in the best interest of the football team. That's what he says every time.
Exactly.
Leave it at that. And especially you know that no one's going to say, well, why did cutting a guy who's been in every first-team rep all summer, why was that in the best interest of your team? Someone just challenged that? Did you see how much that was in by?
No. Paul's watching the U.S. Open.
I was watching the U.S. Open. Literally, Fred, it wasn't even close to a line on a serve.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying that the guy was surpassed, maybe.
Yeah, we had some young players that we felt better about.
Surprised us, and maybe they...
But even if he didn't want to say that because it would kind of sound negative to the players that he cut, just say we did what was in the best interest of the football team.
Right.
Or maybe
because no one's going to say, why was it in the best interest of your team to cut a guy who has been out there for every rep? Right? No one's going to ask him.
Yeah. He could have meant, from a personal standpoint, there are no negatives to the guy. You know, it's not like we cut him because he was a bad guy.
Right.
It's just... But, I mean, just say it. What's wrong with saying it?
Because Will Smith, I would sit there and I would watch on the practice field. I'd say he looked slow.
Yeah.
He looked like he had a fit in the 3-4. I totally saw that. Totally see that coming. It was like the degrees. I was not surprised at all. Mildly surprised about Anderson. Really kind of shocked about Tommy Kelly. Thought Tommy Kelly took every rep with the first team.
Mm. All right. Let's see. Cookie writes, every year there are teams eager to bring in guys based on their early career and early reputation. Nine out of ten times, these guys wash out when the new team sees they have a very different version of the player. So, team always line up for has. I don't even know what that
is. I think what he's trying to say is, and this is something that Belichick does often, Belichick is often enamored by guys who had a talent that allowed them to be early draft picks that for whatever reason they haven't really panned out.
Yeah. And maybe we can do something.
And he brings
with
them in and says, well, I know there's a base of talent there to work with. Mm. Let me see why this guy hasn't panned out for myself.
Yeah.
Maybe he was in a bad system. Maybe he was in a bad scheme.
Right.
Maybe he was with coaches that didn't push the right buttons. Let's see if we can get him in here. And I would agree, generally, those don't work.
Right.
But they have had some success with that. I think a guy like Gerard Warren would be an example of a guy who sort of kicked around with some different teams. He was a good player, not a great player. I think he was the third overall pick one year. He was never that caliber of player.
No.
But I think he brought him in. The opposite side of that would be a guy like Jonathan Sullivan.
Oh, yeah.
Who they traded for was like the 12th overall pick or the, you know, he was like a top 10 pick, maybe. That big defensive line class.
Right.
Might have been the same year as Gerard Warren and Seymour.
I think it was.
He did nothing. He was a tub of goo. And clearly the reason why he didn't pan out was because he had no motor.
Right.
And Belichick quickly saw that and sent him on his way.
Pardon.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, says, I'm bummed Anderson got the boot. I've been excited about him since we signed him. I guess his lack of versatility is what led to that. I'm surprised that Kelly was shown the door as well, but I'm guessing that means Salinga and Jones are on the mend and that maybe we'll see some contribution from Easley as well. But then again, by now we should have learned it is what it is. Last but not least, I wish people would stop thinking there's some value in Mallett. Why would St. Louis want him even when we're exploring the option of giving Garoppolo the backup job? I don't get it.
I mean, the only way I think a team would pick up Mallett if he were available, whether it's being cut or in a trade, is if they needed a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
It's too late to get a guy like him and make him your starter and think that you have a viable chance of going to the playoffs.
What do you got, Kevin?
Interrupt you for one sec. Jay Glazer is reporting that the Patriots have agreed to parameters of a trade to send Pro Bowl guard Logan Mankins to the Bucks for a pick and tight end Tim Wright.
Wow.
Wow.
What?
Whoa.
Wow.
Repeat that again, please, because that's worth repeating.
The Patriots have agreed to...
According to who?
Jay Glazer.
Okay.
The Patriots have agreed to parameters of a trade to send Pro Bowl guard Logan Mankins to the Bucks for a pick and tight end Tim Wright.
Is Tim Wright any good?
I
don't have any idea.
Have any recollection
be,
of that
right?
name. I don't know.
And wow, if this is true, this sends ripples of... intrigue through Patriots Nation because
Tim Wright had 54 catches for 571 yards and 5 touchdowns last year.
Okay, that's good production. You know, it says a lot. This is just loaded with information
I'm stunned.
So
Brett.
let's go on the belief that this is true, that there's some fact to this. Okay,
I would say there's fact to it.
Okay.
Jay Glazer is tied into players as anybody out there.
He's with Fox?
Yeah.
Still?
He's with Fox, right. And he is tied in. He usually has pretty good sources. What does this say about Logan Mankins?
Money. We talked about this heading into training camp. Conley and Mankins make a lot of money. Is the difference between Mankins and Josh Klein worth X amount of millions of dollars? Now, personally, I would say yes. But that's the kinds of roster moves that people were thinking
about.
We were
all going on the assumption here up until this moment that there was one untouchable on this line, and that's Logan Mankins. He's the fixture. He's the guy that he's the anchor of this line.
Especially in a year where there's so much upheaval.
He can even go play left tackle in a pinch, and he's done it.
Wow.
You know?
I'm flabbergasted.
What did Tim Wright have for numbers, Kevin? Can you read those 50 numbers?
50-some-odd catches, 5 touchdowns.
He had 54 catches for 571 yards and 5 touchdowns. And when I look at, you know,
and what year?
What year is he?
Give me his stuff.
Yeah. School, year, all that.
Height, weight.
He's 6'4", 220.
Okay.
So he's a move tight end.
He's 24 years old out of Rutgers. Last year was his first.
Oh, should have known.
It's his what? His second? It's only his third year?
This will be his second year, at least.
Oh, he was a rookie last year.
Yes. Oh. Wow. And it says he's predominantly like a pass catching.
That's
tight
a pretty
end.
Good rookie year.
In that
for a bad team.
I'll bet you we got a draft pick too.
He said that.
That's what he
said. Oh, what pick?
We just said a pick. Like a and future. It says that in one of the reports I'm reading here, it says that Coach Lovie Smith said Tim Wright, quote, hasn't played as well as he should be playing. So maybe they're a little kind of.
So he didn't say there were no negatives. Wow, this is huge. So again, what does it say about Logan Mankins? What does it say about the tight end situation too? I mean, they felt that in need where they would give up their Pro Bowl left guard.
I mean, the fact that this guy, and I know we joke about it, but the fact that this guy's a Rutgers guy tells me a little something too, that Bill thinks the world of him, obviously.
Right.
And was willing to make a move at that position for a guy like that. I mean.
Now, if you're Tom Brady today, you just heard this news, are you like, what the?
I wonder, Fred, how far in advance they were thinking of making this move. That's the first thing I want to know, too, because as we saw all summer with the offensive line.
What's the guy's name again?
Tim Wright. They were doing a lot of different combinations on that O-line from basically the start of training camp. So I wonder how long in the back of their minds they were thinking, if we need to make a trade, Logan's going to be the guy we trade.
Right.
And we might as well start now figuring out what we have elsewhere on
how
that
much
O-line.
Have we seen Connolly at left guard?
Almost not at all.
Not much. So is this Devy and Klein?
Yeah, it would have to be one of those two guys.
Well, based on what I saw last Friday, it better not be Devy.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game the other day.
I would think that Klein now is the starter, and Devy probably has a spot on the team.
Could Cannon play left guard?
Yeah, but
he could.
But you need him for a tackle, really, because
a backup tackle.
Now, I don't know if they start. Yeah. You know, maybe they move Conley to left guard and Cannon to right guard, something like that.
I still am not convinced totally that Ryan Wendell makes this team. In which case, Dan Connolly's got to be your starting center until Brian Stork maybe.
Now you really have your I'm not poo-pooing what Eric is saying because I'm not either. But now you're talking about there's a different starter at all three interior spots. Because you're moving Conley over, Mankins and Wendell are out, so you're putting probably
two
Klein
young guys
and Cannon in or Klein and Devy in. Now, I don't see that happening.
A lot of emailers are saying this could be for Revis, free up that money to pay Revis.
Glazer adds that the deal is not finalized, but players have been informed in terms agreed upon. Still some things to work out, Mankins, 6-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. I didn't see this coming.
No, and I did think that it was the. I didn't think that Mankins was the flat out lock that we were all saying. I thought that the money was important to them, and they didn't feel like he was worth that much more than a Josh Klein.
Wow!
Now I am utterly stunned. This is, and I just see Shalice from the Globe, Shalice Manza-Young. This is just like Seymour.
Right.
And it's exactly the feeling I had.
Very good.
And I wish I had said it, but, you know, that feeling I felt a few years ago when I heard BB traded Seymour,
The only difference, though, is Seymour was strictly for the future. They got a first-round pick for Seymour. It wasn't going to help them this year. This is telling me they really felt they needed help at the tight end position.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different.
A little bit, yeah. And they are getting a pick out of it too, but
Yeah, but it's probably
not anything significant.
Yeah, right. This is huge.
It is.
This rarely do we get this type of breaking news while we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Usually it happens afterwards. Yeah. You know? This guy comes in, and obviously you're going to want him to contribute right away. Second-year player.
Yeah.
Last year, Shiano was the coach last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So now let's connect some dots. During practice and training camp this year, Shiano was here for a couple days.
He was.
I'm sure while he was here, Bill was picking his brain on guys that were on his roster last year. And
here we go.
I'm sure Tim Wright was one of the topics of coverage. See, not my choice.
Not you. Not you.
Getting better?
No. Yeah, a little bit.
Greg Bedard, what few wanted to admit was Mankins' play had slipped the past few years. This is BB selling.
Here we go.
Of course.
Right.
Get it out there. Get it out there. Hey, listen, everybody knows I love Logan Mankins. I have said many times I think the contract that he got was ridiculous for a guard. Hmm. So I'm not trying to play out of both sides of my mouth here, but, you know, can we at least let the ink dry in the deal before we rip him?
Stripper says Tim Wright was impressive when I attended Bucks practice. He can really stretch the field. Mankins will be a huge upgrade for the Bucks interior. Clint in Omaha, very good rookie year for Wright. Could this guy work in the Aaron Hernandez role alongside Gronk?
That's what it
Yeah, with
sounds
his size,
like,
220
yeah.
pounds,
yeah.
6'4".
He's a move guy, yeah. No question, at 220. He's not
a little bit bigger
anybody.
Than Hernandez.
TG writes, does this mean the Patriots go after Richie Incognito? Yeah,
I hope not.
I know he talked with Tampa, by the
way.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, and supposedly, I guess, Indianapolis.
Yeah. If Mankins has, in fact, been traded, this is from Kyle, how do you guys think this will affect our running game?
Not
going to help it.
Yeah. I mean, Mankins was a very mobile
guy. I know his
guy.
Play had slipped, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not going to help. That's
not going to help.
Dwayne writes in, I called it, he says. Well, not exactly. But I called in multiple times this offseason about Logan Mankins' performance relative to his contract. Regardless of how it works out for the Pats this season, this deal was absolutely necessary. Get something for him now because there was no chance he was going to be re-signed.
Hmm. Yep. Yeah, no, I remember the calls, and he was very critical of Mankins. I do remember them. So he's not being one of those 2020 hindsight guys.
Chris says
ahead of the curve. Who was that, Tim?
Yep. Chris says the deal is final. I just got an update from ESPN. This is Chris from Alabama.
ESPN is confirming other people's reports.
I'm shocked.
That's perfect.
I'm shocked. This Tim Wright cap better be worth it. He will most likely get cut like the rest of the tight ends. I have no idea what's going on, but I reckon Bill and the rest know what they're doing. Anyhow, will Boyce be cut, and what's the latest on Gronk? Well, we're still getting into this here, so I don't want to get off track. Pavan writes in, just looking at cap hits in the Logan Mankins trade, 2014 will be 4.25, 2015, 4 million. Savings in 2014 is 5.775 million. God help the O-line now with the new coach and a bunch of Jags.
Yeah. So. We said in the offseason that the interior of the O-line was probably the weakness of that group last year. Apparently the team agreed because they're trying to reshuffle with the center position.
Like Paul said, the difference between a Josh Klein and a Mankins at this point doesn't justify the money being spent and what they can make up from having this move tight end.
Yeah.
You know?
Apparently.
Someone just tweeted out, if the Patriots traded someone like Tim Wright to, say, the Raiders for someone like Mankins, what would the reaction be? What do you think?
It would be great. We just fleeced the
Raiders is what people would be saying.
Right.
No one's saying that right now about the Bucks.
Right.
Right? No one's saying the Bucks fleeced the Patriots.
That's true. This is big, big, big news. Let's go to some phones, guys. If you're not want to talk about Mankins, let's.
You really
got
to hand it to the local media once again for being all over this one.
Let's keep it short. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, man. I had some, but y'all just shocked me right there.
Yeah. What do you think about this?
I think it's a big mistake. The front, our line is weak anyway. anyway, but you're going to take, well, I wouldn't, well, one of the best linemen that trade him for a tight end, you know, I can understand trading one of the younger guys, a couple of draft picks, but really a pro bowl guard, you know, but Brady, I bet you Brady's shaking right now.
Well, it's a good question. Yeah.
Because I'd be paying. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, right?
But does the fact that Brady may have another target at the tight end position offset losing, you know, the left guard?
Well, provided that the line can protect him enough to throw it.
Right, right.
Not really. If he can stand up and throw it.
Yeah. All right, Eldridge. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, my wife and her, I kind of family graduated from Fresno State pretty much, so I'm most involved in this one. I just hope we can continue to protect Tom. I don't understand this one, but, you know, time has a way of telling everything. Of course, here in Denver, I really enjoy you guys because you are critical enough and you make people think. We're here in Denver. I heard all week, it's inevitable. Why do we play these games? The Broncos are going to win the AFC. They're going to get a bye week, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. It's inevitable.
Well, that's what you hear here all week, too. This is the only show that actually talks about, you know, the possibilities of other teams might being able to have a pulse. But if you listen to Boston sports radio, yeah, it's the same thing you just said, always substitute the Patriots.
Mm. Really?
Like, why we even bother to play the regular season? Matter of fact, I shouldn't be a hypocrite. I'm in the middle of writing a commentary right now saying how, forget about the AFC East. Here's the rest of the AFC because there's nobody in the AFC East that's worthy.
But at least we can admit it.
Really, I'm a fraud, too.
And thanks for the update.
All right. Thanks, Noel.
Thanks, Noel.
Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm good. Stunned, Trey. How about you?
Man. Oh, man. Oh, man, Logan Mankins, man, are you talking about the toughest SOB that we have on the line, man?
Yeah.
You know, we're losing a lot of attitude, man.
Yeah.
A lot of grit. And
we're told leadership.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a captain.
I mean, you know, that's, I don't know, man. We needed a tight end, but to give away Logan Mankins, and I understand, you know, the money. Now, I've always said that he was overpaid, but
I agree with that.
I think he was overpaid. Man. I mean, yeah, he was overpaid. I mean, you know, to be honest, I mean, you know, he was overpaid, but damn. I don't know, guys. Hey, I should have to call back Thursday, man.
All right.
Got to collect your thoughts.
Got to gather his thoughts.
Be a little more prepared.
Sergio from Chicago says, I'm mind effed. Logan Mankins is the best interior lineman we had, and last year against the Broncos, we got blown up in the inside. What's going on? I don't want to judge Belichick because he's the greatest coach ever, but this is surprising and questionable to me. The only way this is a good move is if Stork can come in and contribute.
Yeah,
we haven't seen any of Stork yet. Would we know?
I didn't give any thought to that, to be honest with you. I automatically moved on to Josh Klein. I think Josh Klein's going to be a starter.
Yeah, I do too.
What do you think the odds are that Klein's available in the locker room today? I'm going to go 0.0 Bucharski.
I'll say there's a decent chance he is.
Kyle from Washington, D.C. So we traded Logan Mankins for a glass of water, I'm guessing a six, and a Rutgers belly at your Tim Wright.
Right. Hold on. Yeah. You know I can be as smarmy and snarky as anybody.
Right.
This guy had a really good rookie year last year. That's a good 50-something catches for 500-something
yards. And he was probably high on
the
Patriots
horrible team with a quarterback that was so freaking bad, he's not in the league anymore. And he caught 50-something passes for 500-something yards as a rookie. This is a guy that could be that complimentary tight end that they need. Now, I'm not saying that he was worth Mankins, but can we not beat the crap out of a guy? I didn't know a lot about him. I just saw his stats right there. Hold off on killing Tim Wright. I think this is a guy who had a promising rookie year, I think.
Based on
stats.
On the numbers, yeah.
Not going to pretend that I know a lot about his intricacies, but I think he could catch the ball anyway.
I'm glad the Patriots press corps has taken hints from the Red Sox beat and are already kicking Mankins before he's out the door.
That's happening. That's accurate. Now I'm back on board with you.
On a more serious note, does this create a bit of leadership void in the locker room?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
It has to, right?
He was a huge part of the leadership core of players.
Yeah. I mean, Nate Solder and Vollmer are very quiet guys.
Very. Oh, God, yeah.
You know?
Not the kind of take charge type of guys that Mankins was. At least not. I mean, you know, Mankins was the nicest guy off the field too. So we shouldn't, you know, necessarily say that that's you know, being
awesome.
A nice guy is a detriment to being a leader.
Right.
But on the field, there was nobody like Mankins.
Oh, he was nasty. Olivier from Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
I'm shell shocked as well, but I think there must be a reason for what happened.
Well, and yeah, it's best interest of the team.
Well, the reason was they wanted a tight end.
Yeah,
right. I mean,
yeah, but I don't think we would have mortgaged the offensive line. And poor Brady again, you know. Last year, no offense. This year, he may not be able to stand upright due to the fact that Mankin won't be able to protect him.
Well, it is just one guy. And, you know, it's not mortgaging the entire offensive line. They were already going through changes on the O-line as it was.
I mean, chances are we're going to find out that last year's draft, they had this guy really rated high.
Well, that's
and also, but maybe we're getting a great pick as well. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, we don't know what the pick is.
What about if it's a first rounder?
It's not going to be a first rounder. It's not going to be a first rounder.
If it's a first rounder, then we fleece the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's yes. Yeah, I will say that. Yeah, but that's not going
to probably going to be like a sixth.
It's not going to be a first rounder.
Right.
So, how much money are we saving? Do we know?
About $5 million. Hmm. Yeah.
So what could we do with that money?
Give it to Revis.
Hopefully someone else.
Yeah, I mean, might be the start of some other moves. Who knows?
Yeah, I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
Yeah, it makes it interesting. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Andre Johnson.
Oh, Paul.
Oh.
What about another thing that, you know, I was thinking about? You know, we're talking about Mallett and Garoppolo and so forth. Do you think that with everything that's happened in different teams, that we would present Garoppolo in the best light, of course, if he plays well against the Giants, and then trade him?
No.
No, impossible.
Not at all.
I think this is 0.0% chance of Garoppolo getting traded.
They drafted him to be the future of this team.
Yeah, I understand.
Not somebody else's future. The future of this team, not someone else's.
All right, guys.
All right, Olivier.
See you Thursday.
Mike writes in from Ohio that because of Mankin's signing bonuses, that he'll count $4 million against the cap this year and another $4 million next year based on the $20 million signing
bonus.
But
he would have counted $9 million this year, you're saying?
That's according to the other email, that was his base. So
yeah, well, that's saved the base salary is what you would save on the cap.
Which is not insignificant.
Right.
But that's a lot of dead money, too.
It is. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jason in Florida. Hey, Jason.
Yo, guys, what's good?
Well, we're trying to digest this big
move. Trying to figure out if the trade is good.
All right, guys, I have four concerns with the team. Guys, could you tell me if they're valid?
Okay.
An inconsistent wide receiver corps that doesn't scare anybody.
Valid.
Yes.
With a new coach.
I'm sorry, what was that one?
Offensive line with a new coach.
Valid.
With a new coach.
Yep.
Valid.
Yep.
A feature back that has trouble holding on to the football.
Not a big concern for me.
Yeah, not as
just,
bad.
Just speaking on my own, from my own.
A defensive line that hasn't put pressure on the quarterback in 3 years.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned about that.
No, I think they're showing some improvement there.
So two out of the four of these guys agree with you.
Yeah.
As legit concern. Now, do I think that they can get better with the pressure, yeah. They can get better pressure. And I think
they can hold on to the ball a little more in the backfield.
I don't worry about the running backs because of obvious reasons. Yep. I don't believe in running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think someone will carry the ball, and the Patriots will end up with around 2,000 rushing yards or whatever it is that they always get.
Double-digit wins.
Yeah, you know, 11, 12 wins.
Right.
In terms of did you see ESPN just had a scroll?
Paul's getting very distracted by the tennis.
ESPN just had a scroll of the Mankins trade, and they credited Field Yates with
it. Did they really?
According to Field Yates in Fox Sports reports.
Wow.
I'm sorry, but that's just so wrong.
I know. Just give Glazer his due.
I mean, you don't have to say. You could just say that
Fox.
It happened.
Just say Fox.
Right. You know, according to reports, you don't even have to credit the person who got it.
Although you should
credit
the organization.
But you can't credit your guy.
Right.
For saying, yeah, that's true.
Right.
After the fact. Right. And I love Field Yates. You guys know that.
Right. But they all do it, Paul. It's ridiculous.
Well,
it's,
they do it.
They do it a lot more.
They do it more egregiously than anybody.
Yeah, they do.
It's according to Adam Schefter in various published reports.
Right.
Well, if Adam Schefter had it first, they wouldn't be saying,
and
various other reports.
Right.
True.
Now, Adam Schefter gets a lot of stuff before everybody else.
But, yeah, I know your point is valid. Just give credit to the organization that got it. You don't have to specify the person if you don't want to.
Bo writes in, could this trade be a way for the Patriots trying to clean out the echoes of Dante Scarnecchia? Maybe Mankins was not meeting well with the new line coach, or maybe Mankins did not get on board with the new coaching philosophy. When new management comes aboard, older employees do not always cooperate with new management styles. Just a theory.
Well,
yeah,
I see.
Austin says the same thing. Maybe he wasn't seeing eye to eye with Gooch.
Well, there's one thing about seeing eye to eye and also being the best player at the position. If Logan Mankins, if they felt he was still the best offensive lineman they had, I don't know if they would trade him.
And if you take Gooch at his word, he said nothing's going to change.
Right.
I'm not coming in here and installing new techniques and systems and theories.
Obviously, he has a different way of coaching,
but
different style.
It's the same principles.
But it's the same principles that are being taught.
Right.
So that, I mean, to me, that I don't really put much stock.
All right.
In that.
Unfortunately, we have work to do here today, and a lot of it as a result
more
of this.
Now.
So these guys are going to be off onto the website, giving their reaction to this big, big news.
We'll be in the locker room later to get some.
Yeah, we'll be in the locker
reaction.
Room later. We got a game on Thursday, so there's no show, but there will be
pregame social
at 5:15. So look forward to that. And then, of course, the Patriots kick off against the Giants Thursday night. So
and then cuts on Saturday.
Cuts on Saturday
final cuts,
after the game.
Practice squad comes together on Sunday.
So this is a big, big week getting ready for the regular season. Logan Mankins traded to the Bucks for Tim Wright in an undisclosed draft pick. Read about it on Patriots.com.
Tim Wright's up all night.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson. Download.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.